let's start the show.
It's August 4th, 2011. Welcome to This Is Only a Test, the official podcast of Tested.com. I'm Will Smith. I'm lightly carbonated, but I'm not served chilled. I'm sitting here with Norman Chan.
That was really bad.
I'm drinking a Red Bull.
That explains everything.
I can see through time. Norm, you're wearing the coolest shirt you've worn in a long time. I like this shirt a lot.
I got a Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I thought you got this on the Hate with the M. Braga.
And I bought more of them at Comic-Con.
Wow, that's okay. That's good. How you doing, Norm?
Doing very well.
Good. Gary?
Good to be back. Good to have the old team.
We're winging it today.
Put the band back.
The WNG.
That's right.
Gary Whitta, welcome back to the show. We missed you the last couple of weeks.
I do want to second my appreciation for Norm's t-shirt. You know what? It has the feel of like an old like 1970s Olympic poster or something. You know? It's very cool.
It also kind of seems like early 80s video game logos.
I love the Heather Gray. I love the fit and it's like a little tag on the bottom. It's from the store called Super 7.
Oh, you're going to promote the store? Oh,
totally.
Okay.
These shirts are like $25, but at Comic-Con they're like $20.
Perfect.
Like, give me four.
Yeah, but I
it's
like
a nice,
it.
Nice I'm gonna go buy some. I like it.
I'm gonna go buy some.
It's very stylish.
Like yours.
Yes.
Do they have a lot of designs or only a few?
They have
look
like
very
five
similar.
Bicycle designs, ooh. And they have a ton of other stuff.
Now, can I ask a question? Can I wear a bicycle shirt since I don't really ride bicycles? Does that make me a giant poser?
Well, I don't think you've got the physique for it.
Well, no. Okay. What's no, a
those are very form fitting jerseys. They're
that
meant
shirt?
To be worn by
okay.
people with.
So
good...
you're talking about a shirt with
I'm
bicycle
talking about Norm's shirt.
On it.
Can I wear a shirt
oh,
with bicycles
yeah, of course.
On it?
Like, just being a fan of the
no,
Olympics.
No, I'm not going to wear
oh,
a fucking
gonna,
bicycle
yeah.
jersey.
Like, yeah, like a Tour de France jersey.
Yeah,
that's not a good idea.
No, it's not a good look for me.
You mean can you wear a t-shirt with a bicycle on it without being a hypocrite?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
You could support bicycling.
Well, you're wearing a t-shirt. You're wearing a shirt with a rooster and a. Basketball. It looks like
that's a football,
a real
football. Yes,
really.
It doesn't have hexagons.
Yeah,
no. This is because it's an old logo. This is when footballs actually did look like that.
Really?
Yeah. This is from the 1880s.
Hold on. There was a time when soccer footballs didn't have hexagons.
Yeah, they weren't always stitched the same way. That technology has, and they don't have hexagons anymore because we've moved past that now.
If you look, we don't have hexagons anymore.
Oh, I guess they're pentagons and squares, right?
Oh, we've moved on to all. If you look at the balls now that FIFA have used in the last couple of World Cups, the ones that Adidas create. I mean, there's a whole fascinating science behind that. I mean, the way that
is it like golf balls where the dimples affect how they fly.
It's pretty magical. And of course, every year the players always complain about the new balls because as they change the technology. The balls behave more differently. They bend more, or they're
it's just
they're
not
too
how you
light.
Kick; it's how you hit it. And
they train and play all year with a certain kind of ball. They show up at the World Cup. They're given a new ball that behaves completely differently, and all the shots go off target.
It's all politics.
Every 4 years, it's the same complaint.
So, if I got new balls every 4 years, I'd be upset too.
Well, what about like at Wimbledon, where you get new balls every couple of turns?
Well, that's a different thing. Your tennis balls are all the same. Tennis ball's a tennis ball.
I'm sure even that technology has changed over the years.
No, the technology's changed, but if you get three tennis balls from the can, they're as close as they can get within manufacturing tolerances, right?
Right.
I mean, the difference is when you're playing tennis and you get the flat ball out. You're like wanging it across the court.
Well, you can always. That's why they test.
Like test three
and throw them back.
But it's not like the players show up at Wimbledon and the Wimbledon authorities are saying, "Okay, here's a new kind of ball that's brand new and actually behaves differently to the one you've been playing with all year."
Yeah, that's not crazy. It's not like a faulty surface. Now we're using like rubber balls.
Right. But that's what happens at these international soccer tournaments because Adidas want to sell you the new ball they've created. And
that's bullshit.
Yeah,
I love
players get a little time. They do.
I don't blame them. I would too.
Well, what they do is now they have to give the balls out to the teams in advance, so they've got some time.
Free balls?
Yes. The word balls is hilarious, Will. Let's really mine that one into the ground.
I've missed you, Gary. So when you play like pro golf, do you provide your own balls for that?
No way.
What do you mean?
No.
When you're a pro in any sport and golf. Well,
but you bring your own clubs, you bring your own racket. It's just two
sides
of the same
coin.
But
those are all provided for you and custom made for you by the manufacturers.
I guess that's true.
And in fact, they're paying you to use them, not the other way around.
So I guess you don't have an official ball sponsor if you're a golf player.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, okay.
Well, no. The,
but then you have tournament.
Else's balls. The tournament has an official ball sponsor, not the players individually.
The tournaments do, but the players all play with the equipment that they're sponsored to use.
So when you played at that Penny Arcade thing, not that this is anything even remotely the same, did you bring your own balls or did they provide balls?
Both. I brought my own, but they also very kindly provided a couple of sleeves that had the Child's Play logo on. It was really cool.
It's a souvenir.
I kept them. Yeah, I actually hit my own balls.
Right.
Come on, you can't let that go.
You already pointed out how
I hit my own balls because I wanted to keep the Penny Arcade ones as a souvenir.
Yeah, I can see that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So before we start on the show this week, let's
Well, this ball technology thing.
What?
Your grooves are amazing. These don't look like soccer balls at all.
Do they win tunnel test?
Like what a modern soccer ball looks
like.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do they wind tunnel test them, you think?
Well, they do all kinds of crazy things.
There are dimples and grooves.
Oh my God. In fact, I believe they're very close now to having a ball, if not already, that basically has no panels at all.
So is there a quest for the perfect ball?
Yeah, they're always improving ball technology.
Wow.
But I don't know how much more they, you know, again, I think it's more about marketing than it is about making the performance of the ball better. The players are perfectly happy with the balls and have been for many years.
Yeah.
But they complain when they change them.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you'd think it's more in the foot and the shoe than the ball.
Well, shoe technology is changing all the time. Do you remember when Adidas brought in the Predator boot that had those kind of those hooks? Textured ridges on the front of the foot?
Never heard about
that. That were supposed to increase the flight and the bend of the ball.
Hmm.
It was very popular for a while.
So it's like those big oversized drivers were in golf. Well,
in all sports, yeah. it's just like, you know, the swimsuits are a big controversy. The Speedos, the full body,
right?
And of course, in many sports, they get to a point where they have to start putting limits on the technology. There are many different kinds of clubs and things and pieces of equipment in golf that are banned by the Professional Golf Association because they're too much of a crutch.
Right, like the self-correcting clubs and the balls. That
yeah, personally, I think they should ban those broom handle putters just because I think they look absolutely absurd.
The big tall ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think those are ridiculous.
I think they're ridiculous, but some pros like them. It kind of looks like it's cheating a little bit.
The rules on golf are really, really explicit though,
and they're very strict.
Right,
but the broom handle putters are allowed.
Yeah.
But there are many different kinds of club and things like that.
Like the Happy Gilmore putter definitely would not fit inside the rules.
Well, that was just a hockey stick.
Yeah.
Right. I know. I'm just saying. It's not a real thing.
Right.
You can't actually play with that.
Right.
Or a cue stick. You can't
use your golf club like a cue stick. No.
Correct.
No. And if the tower fell over the green on the 18th hole of the tournament, they'd move the tower out of the way.
Again, I'm not sure what the rule is on that.
Yeah.
I think in an extraordinary situation like that, they would have to do something. Yeah. But most of the time, you really do have to play it. No matter where it lands, you've got very little latitude to improve your lie.
No, you can't. If it's on somebody's foot, good luck.
Right. And in fact, Happy Gilmore did have to hit a ball off someone's foot.
That was the one true part of that story. Yeah. It was Jaws, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
Seems like
I need to watch it again, which is never a bad idea anyway.
From James Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard Kiel.
Yeah.
He was at WonderCon.
Moonraker. And he's a staple circuit.
Saw him at WonderCon just this year.
Cool.
Yes.
Still, you know, putting himself out there.
Very tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So kind of a slow news week this week. Not a ton happening.
You never guess from the way that we're eating up all this time talking about complete nonsense.
Well, I was going to ask you guys what you're doing for recreation these days since you asked for a tangent.
Watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, new season's pretty good.
Very, very
first
good.
Couple episodes, I think it's were been a little slow.
But the Palestinian chicken.
Yeah.
It has entered the annals of classic Curb.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing chicken-wise.
Oh, yeah. I'm an episode behind, so I don't know what you're
the
talking
latest,
about.
You haven't seen – well, the Palestinian chicken's 2 weeks behind.
Yeah.
Then I'm 2 weeks behind.
You're 2 weeks behind.
I just discovered I'm further behind than I initially thought.
I'm so behind on TV.
Yeah.
Like, you think usually the years between – sorry, the weeks and months between you know, the summertime basically between when actually –
it's when you catch up.
But there's so much TV now on in the mid-season that's very good. Like Breaking Bad is on right now. I love that. Against my better judgment, I got sucked into this thing, Falling Skies, you know, alien invasion.
Oh, that looked terrible.
I don't think it's that great, but like I've got sucked into it. I just like alien invasions.
Is that the Steven Spielberg one?
Yes.
Okay. No, Terra Nova is the Steven
Spielberg. They're both Steven Spielberg.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
He's on everything these days.
Wow.
So I got sucked into that. And I've got a whole bunch of, somebody recommended to me that I have to watch Justified. So I got the Blu-ray of the first season. I need to watch that. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I need to
But I can't help but notice that you were right on point with The Bachelorette.
Oh, so you finally watched it.
I have gotten trapped. There's no escaping this.
Well, fortunately, I mean, you came in right at the end. So, but now I have to tell you, Bachelor Pad starts Monday.
I'm not watching that.
No, yes, you are.
There's no way.
Come on.
I'm backing out of this conversation.
Bad enough as it is.
So, did you watch the Bachelor? Now, Gina already watches The Bachelorette.
Gina has watched it since day one, yes.
So now, did you finally join her in watching it? Because I've been talking about it a lot, or did it just happen by coincidence?
You know,
or
sometimes
what?
You said, like, basically when Gina's watching The Bachelorette, that's when I go hunting for apps of the week. So when she's watching some sort of bad reality show, I'm sitting on the couch.
Right.
This is a conversation we've had before, whether sitting on the couch doing two entirely different things with each other constitutes time spent together.
It does not.
Or is time spent apart. Brad is of the opinion, we talked about this when Brad was on, that does count as time spent together.
I agree that it does.
My wife and I have decided that it counts as time spent together.
Yeah.
However, eventually that show is so ridiculous, you're sitting there just kind of listening, it leaks in.
So what did you conclude from – so did you actually sit down and pay attention and really watch the season finale?
I think that everyone involved in that program is a monster. The producers, the people who are on – The victims.
Oh yeah, I mean the show is in the business of manipulating people's emotions and making them, you know, breaking their hearts and doing whatever they can for our amusement.
And also, they talk about the fucking journey all the time.
This journey has been.
Oh, this is a magical journey. I've learned so much on this journey. It's as if the journey is just the point of the whole exercise. And I fucking hate Journey. I mean, Don't Stop Believing is a good song.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, it wasn't very funny, was it?
No, I liked it better when you had a valid point.
The point is, though, they talk about this journey. It's not really a journey.
It's a fucking manipulated exercise. It's all fake. And again, if you know anything about reality television, you know that it's all, you know, it's very heavily scripted, and, you know, very fake. And part of the Bachelor and the Bachelorette type shows, the thing that bugged me the most is I understand at the beginning you've got like 15 or 20 people and, you know, they're all very attractive and you could be interested in any one of them.
And a lot of them are usually pretty easy, it seems like.
Yeah, and it's all flirtatious and it's all good fun. The problem is when you get down to the last two or three.
This
happens every season and the Bachelor or the Bachelorette is saying, oh, I've fallen in love with all three of these people.
Right.
And, you know, obviously they need to maintain that to keep the tension alive until the finale. Right. But I just think there's something...
It's sick.
I've never been in a situation where I've like had equally strong romantic feelings for like three or four people all at once.
I don't even like myself very much. I can't imagine the cameras weren't rolling.
I hate myself.
Right. Well, I mean, we know who you aspire to be.
LD?
Yeah, LD.
I don't think LD hates himself, though. I think he just hates everybody else.
He's so pleased with himself.
Do you think it's wrong that LD is my role model?
No, I think that's awesome. LD is a perfect role model.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's if you like,
it speaks his mind. LOL.
Absolutely.
It's much better than having like Costanza as your role model.
Right.
Even though Costanza is in a lot of ways. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is the last episodes, like I've always said that we'll talk about tech momentarily. There are two types of reality shows. There's first half shows and there's second half shows. And what I mean is there are shows that are good for the first half during the early winnowing out phases.
Yes.
And there are shows that are good for the exciting conclusion.
Like American Idol being a classic example. Some people only like to watch the auditions.
Yeah, the auditions are terrible. Right. I can't stand that shit.
Right, but some people like that part.
But when you get to the last four or five people and they're actually talented, the last few episodes are really good.
Right.
Same thing for Top Chef, right? Top Chef, the first couple of – when their cuts are easy, it's not entertaining.
I don't watch Top Chef, so I'm going to take your word for it on this one.
Okay, America's Next Top Model. Same thing.
What makes you think that I would watch that
one? You watch The Bachelorette, so I assume
The Bachelorette is the only one of those like really girly shows that I watch. All the others are – I don't know. I don't watch many other reality shows.
Okay.
I like Idol. I'll watch The X Factor when that starts this fall. I like the competition shows.
Right. I like to see either people who are really good at something or people who have like weird challenges.
Oh, we were watching that extreme weight loss show on ABC that came on right after. They take these 500-pound people and like knock 250 pounds off them. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. That's kind of a show they have to shoot like multiple – like what
it's if like they
shoot
they, well, they shoot it over the course of a year.
So they
and actually some of them
once.
Didn't make it. There was one guy that like liked his snacks so much that he just couldn't do it. It was that every episode would end with they would bring the person in they've undergone this transformation. They've lost like 200 pounds. They look not necessarily super thin, but certainly much better than they did when they were like huge.
Wait, so you're saying a year of footage for 1 hour show?
Yes.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Oh, see, Big Brother, Biggest Loser, they do like 6 months and they do one
a season.
They, The season is 3 months long. So they start
Tracking someone over the course of a year.
Wow.
For just for 1 hour.
Yeah, but they had one guy who was so addicted to food that they couldn't do the final unveiling because he was just as heavy after a year. Like, it was the one failure that they had. Yeah. Well,
anyway, technology.
Yeah, you might want to put a note in the podcast notes this week for like here's the time code to skip to.
I'm gonna play I'm gonna play the interstitial music right now.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to take over the topics. Speaking of LD and you being 2 weeks behind, you know, soon you don't have to be 2 weeks behind. It doesn't matter if no matter on demand or not.
Oh, I'm liking this
that
segue.
That is an amazing segue.
That was amazing.
If you have an Xbox.
He didn't just segue from one topic to another. He segued out of one segment into another.
He segued from a tangent into a segment.
That was like a Zen ninja segue or something.
I know. So HBO Go.
HBO Go. Coming to your TV and consoles. This
Xbox,
is amazing
PS3,
because we have it on computers, HBO Go.
Yes.
There's an app for tablets.
Yes.
But as we've tested, you can't use AirPlay with it.
You can't
use
the whole HDMI out doesn't work.
The whole it's not TV, it's HBO has never been truer because you can in fact not watch this kind of HBO on your TV.
Well, as someone who for whatever reason they can't make HD HBO work in my living room. Like, I pay for the channel, I get it.
Huh.
But that HD HBO Pacific just never works.
That's weird.
Ever.
No problem.
The West one works. The S works. All the others work. I can listen. HBO Spanish, no problem. HD all day long.
Bizarre.
So HBO Go.
Maybe just learn Spanish.
But I mean, that's not a bad idea, actually.
I like HBO Spanish, actually. It's good.
The
service is a huge success for them. You see, like, billboards.
Yeah,
they're really heavily promoting it. Now it's going to come to built-in TVs, connected TVs.
So
right, next generation smart TVs.
Yeah, we like that.
And also game consoles.
So now,
but it doesn't address the real problem that most people have been complaining about from the beginning, which is I wish I could just buy this a la carte and not have to have a cable subscription.
How, like Ryan, for example, doesn't have HBO and he got an HBO account login from a giant bomb reader.
Right. So he's kind of
exactly.
He's got
reaching. Way to darken
if I
out,
don't
dude.
Use. Well, he's talked about this before. He advertised it on Twitter. What's to stop, you know, if Will didn't pay for HBO, him from borrowing my HBO Go account?
Well, I think they have some restrictions on how many devices you can be logged
on. Well, if I don't plan on using it. So there's going to be a whole gray market or, you know, secondary market for HBO Go.
So that kind of speakeasy thing is that people are always going to find hacks around it. The real question has been, though, like I posted it on my Google Plus. Oh, look, it's great. HBO Go is coming to consoles. And for every person going, wow, that's really cool, there were 10 people going, this still sucks because I don't want to have to pay. You know, I want to cut the cord, or I don't have to pay the extra stuff. I just want to buy. I just want HBO to go.
It's the right step.
This is the first step.
The thing is, I think HBO would love to do that. I think the cable companies are obviously the barrier to doing that because they're going to do everything they can to try and stop people cutting the cord.
And here's the thing: the cable companies subsidize a lot of that cost. So if HBO was just to offer itself as a subscription, it would be more than just that $10 a month addition that the cable companies charge you now.
Right.
To sustain themselves and their budget, it would have to be like, I don't know, I'm making a wild guess here, maybe like 25.
I don't think
it'd
have to be
bucks.
That much more than 10 bucks a month.
How much, what's the upper
limit
of what you
would pay?
Look
at the amount of content Netflix provides
HBO.
For $7 to $10 a month.
Netflix doesn't produce its own content.
Well, not yet.
Well, it's going to, though.
Yeah.
But not in the quality and quantities of HBO.
You know?
I actually think they are planning to establish themselves as a high-end destination like HBO.
Gary, do you need to disclose anything?
What do you mean?
About a Netflix relationship or anything?
Netflix relationship?
Okay, never mind. Just making sure.
What are you talking about?
I was just making sure you don't have some sort of Netflix deal that you're going to have.
Well, I do. I have a great Netflix deal. $8 a month for everything I want to watch.
Hey, I have that same deal. I thought that was an insider's deal.
I pay $17 a month.
You're a fool.
I know.
You're
fool. I get the Blu-ray.
Ugh.
Maybe it's $18 a month now.
So
anyway, what is the upper limit of what you would pay just for HBO content? The back catalog and ongoing.
If HBO Go could sell exactly what they have right now, completely a la carte, without needing a cable subscription, I think they could probably charge anything up to $14.99 a month. But at $9.99 a month, they would clean up.
Here's the thing. Typically, I don't watch movies on HBO anymore, right? Do you guys watch? I mean, occasionally
if
something's on, you're flipping, you see
90% of the time I'm watching HBO, I'm watching the original
program. That's the thing.
But I do still like the movies because I hate commercials and like TNT,
yes.
AMC.
I hate commercials.
I don't want to. They have good movies, I don't want to sit through 4 hours. It's not even like the commercials. Fair. It's like the time it takes to watch a movie becomes 4 hours as opposed to two hours.
HBO is definitely kind of one of those tiered stepping stones for me based on how much I want to watch a movie. Like if I really, really, really want to see a movie, I go to the theater. Right. If not, I'll wait for it to come out on for the home video release and then I'll rent it on iTunes or Xbox or whatever.
Right.
If I don't want to pay any money at all and just watch it when it comes on, then I'll wait for it either to show up on Netflix streaming or on HBO, which right. is kind of the next tier down. So right. it does perform that service.
So, okay, so here's the thing. Right now, we last week you weren't here, but we talked about the Nielsen survey results about how people are consuming Netflix and Hulu Plus content.
Okay.
And the takeaway is like half of the people were using PCs. A surprising number of people were using PCs. The Wii was the second runner-up for streaming consoles. And then the Xbox and PS3 both had combined to have about the same market share as the Wii in terms of content viewed on Netflix.
I was surprised by the Wii because, you know, you're not getting the HD. But I know a lot of people don't care. You've got to send off for a disc.
That's not true anymore.
Oh, can you get it from their store? The shop
there was
channel?
An exclusivity period okay. that Xbox had.
Right.
I think last Christmas or something that expired. Because right. then when PS3 got the on-console store, so did the Wii.
But, you know, obviously Wii's got such a huge install base.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think connected TVs are of any value at all in terms of this. Like, nobody is using connected TVs to watch this content is right. what it seems like. Right. Netflix, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, my TV comes with Netflix.
Right.
But I would never use
it's
that.
It's a terrible Netflix client for my TV. Yeah. We have the same client. It's
yes.
bad.
Yes, I've never even bothered to use it.
It's bad on mine, too.
Yeah, so
it's because there's not enough – they don't invest in a good processor.
Well, it's not
and
it's,
UI.
It hasn't been updated in a year and a half. So
well, it's a generic one that Netflix offered everyone.
Right. So, I mean, I wonder, I really think that the secret about this is the consoles. Wii, PS3, Xbox, massive, massive installed base. People who are into the whole video streaming on their living room thing. It's a huge story. I'll be interested to see if it comes to the Apple TV.
That would be wonderful.
And then, the other question, the price question, I think really boils down to how much original HBO content do you consume? So, right now, I could cancel my HBO subscription, for which I pay $120 a year, and probably end up saving about $50 or $60 a year if I just bought stuff on Blu-ray when it comes out, bought the original series.
But if you had HBO Go, you would never need to buy those.
Well,
Blu-rays.
That's the point. So if it's cheaper than buying two TV show Blu-rays a year, I'll sign up for HBO.
I mean,
Go.
Like I have, for example, several HBO shows in box set form. I have The Wire, I have Band of Brothers, I have a few other things. Larry Sanders. Larry Sanders actually isn't on HBO Go, but you get the point. And if I decided, for example, that I want to rewatch The Wire all the way through, it's easier if HBO Go is available just to do it on HBO Go than it is to get my discs.
I mean,
out.
In fairness, though, we are exceptionally lazy people. I agree with you.
I definitely am. It's
the disc swapping thing. It's got to go.
It's not even about lazy. It's not even about necessarily being lazy. If you're presented with two options and one's easier than the other, picking the easiest thing doesn't make you lazy. It just makes you smart.
Yeah. Right. The more options, like Star Trek on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. The quality is a little shittier, but
yeah. Hey. Like I have the Star Trek Next Generation box set. As long as they're on DVD, as long as they're on Netflix, I'm never gonna have to access those discs.
But
again.
I will use the disc for special features or alternate commentary.
Yes.
Netflix actually does like captions really poor for foreign films.
Porn films.
Foreign films.
Okay, it's even worse for foreign porn.
Yeah, when you know, because you need the captions to know what's going on.
Well,
can't follow the story in a good porn if
right. You don't want you haven't got those
subtitles.
The dialogue is the best part.
Yeah,
you want to fast forward through all that other shit.
Yeah, why have they suddenly started fucking? I have no context. I don't understand what they just said to each other. This guy came over to fix the cable, and now he's fucking these two women. That makes no sense. But I need to understand
the cable was broken, Gary. The cable was broken.
I need to understand what he said that could possibly turn a routine cable TV repair job into a three-way sex orgy.
When the cable guy came over to fix my cable, I felt like I got fucked at the end, but only metaphorically.
Yes.
Only metaphorically.
Very good. Oh, very good.
Wow. So far we've had a 15-minute tangent and a really offensive conversation in the first 30 minutes of the podcast.
The point being, everybody wants HBO Go to be separate. And that if that were available, that would be a huge, huge step towards people being able to cut the cord. Cable companies know that.
Yeah.
That's why they're going to draw a line in the sand. Look, just to explain how much HBO is not the master of its own destiny, you can't even get HBO on Time Warner Cable. And they're owned by the same company.
Why can you not get HBO on? You mean HBO Go?
HBO Go. Yeah, sorry, HBO, yeah, yeah. Obviously. HBO Go.
I was just saying.
Time Warner, you know when it says select your cable company when you want to go do HBO
There's
Go?
No choice.
Time Warner's not in there.
So here's what this is. When HBO gets a certain installed base for people using these apps, then they'll have leverage to come to Comcast and say, look, you have to let us this happen or we're just going to fucking turn off the spigot for you.
Yeah. Right? I mean, HBO could eventually decide they want to be more like Netflix and say, who needs a fucking cable company?
Right. This is
right.
That could be their
evolution long term.
This is the path. This is the first step along that path. I think that's what's going to happen to the higher value cable networks in general. You know, your food TVs and your MTVs and that stuff.
But HBO, because they are absolutely ESPN. HBO is the gold standard in quality cable programming. If they were to do that. That would be a real watershed.
Well, they have to ease into it. It's not something you can just turn the switch.
HBO is so – because it's been around for a long time as well. I mean, I don't know. When did HBO start?
Same time as MTV. Like
early 80s, right? Has been around for so many years and is so synonymous with cable television, right?
You can't have – it's not cable. It's HBO.
It's not TV. But if they – but that – I mean, again, that would – that term, and of course LD has said it's not TV. It's on TV. You know, he's made a mockery of this in the past. But the point is, if they were to make that switch, that would actually mean so. We're not on TV anymore. Well, we're HBO and we're doing our own thing. And I think obviously this is where it's all going.
So this is the transition, right? The high value cable networks, the ESPNs, the Disneys, the HBOs, the Foods, I said ESPN already. I think that's all.
And also channels that are establishing themselves as high-end places like AMC, right, where you go to get quality.
I'm not ever going
to
pay for AMC, though.
You wouldn't pay for those shows?
No. Oh, what's on AMC?
If AMC suddenly said to me, if you want to watch The Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, and Mad Men, you got to come over here and do a separate deal.
Shows.
Then yeah, because that's what you do. You create content that people must have.
Right.
That's how you do it. It's all about quality.
Absolutely.
You create quality.
I know.
You do. Classics. I'm not saying you do.
Oh, well, thanks, man.
Far from it.
Wait until you see what we have created, though.
What have you created?
We have created Tested: the show.
Oh, I'm very excited about this.
Yes. Yeah.
Is this going to be on HBO?
No. Okay. Give us a little time.
Where will this be debuting?
We're going to actually debut on DIY Krizakistan. It's a small cable in
Is this between like the jewelry show and the knife?
Joan Rivers is on before Gallery. And Susan Lucci is on right after.
Fantastic.
Actually, so
I'm selling retinol cream.
Right in between that P90X commercial and the salad chopper.
Too close, man. Too close.
On the show, we would test both those things. Right?
Yeah. Both of those are crap, but buy this. It's the show. It's free. You've already bought it. You don't have to pay anything.
Don't knock P90X. He's going to get mad.
So we have put together a 15-minute...
Wow, we are all over the place today.
It's great. I love it.
Right. You know, Bombcast last week, they had the GG button in the room, and whenever somebody hit the GG button, they
went, Will,
the GG button is still in the room.
I couldn't find it earlier. It's because it's still in the room.
You know, every time you want to start a tangent,
don't press it.
Every time you want a tangent, don't do it.
This is only a test.
Step away from the button. You know, you
Will.
Ah, why? You couldn't resist it.
It's so big and blue.
The big blue button has to be pressed. All right, so Tested the show. Where is it going to be?
It's going to be on Tested at first. We'll be on iTunes and Zune and all that other stuff later in the week.
Now, how is this different from the video content you already create?
So we do a lot of short stuff. So we do like 5, 10, 15 minute shorts dedicated to a specific topic or a specific product usually.
Right.
In this case, we actually went out and we shot 3 or 4 different segments about stuff that's related to CNC, computer numerical control technology.
It's CNC week.
It's CNC week on Tested.com. Yeah.
What is this? I've never even heard of it.
See, MakerBot. The MakerBot is a CNC device. So all CNC means is it's robots that computers can control. And most of the time they're used to build things. Sometimes they're used to carve stuff away. Sometimes they're used to paint. Sometimes they're used to laser cut.
Like the way they build cars with robots. That's
exactly
that, right?
Okay. That's CNC. So we went and found 3 or 4 interesting CNC stories. We built it all up. It's a 15-minute show. You should definitely check it out. It'll probably be up shortly after you hear this. So definitely by Friday morning is when we're going to post this.
And this is a free download?
Free download.
On iTunes and stuff?
Well, we'll be on iTunes eventually. We don't have that feed set up yet, but that'll go up probably this weekend. Same thing for Zoom.
But right now it's just on the site.
Something has been percolating in our brains for a long time. Basically, since last year when I said we wanted to do Top Gear but Tested.
Don't say that. They can come after us. I don't want Jeremy Clarkson mad at me. He's a real asshole.
But you're the Jeremy Clarkson of the show.
But he could beat me. You could beat the hamster, but I couldn't beat Clarkson. He's mean.
See, I'm like the hamster, but my favorite is Captain Slow.
Well, that's because you chose poorly. I think Gary's Captain Slow.
Well, Gary's clearly Captain Slow.
I don't watch Top Gear, so I don't know what you're talking
you're
about.
You're doing it wrong. Wow. You should stop watching every other TV show you watch.
I won't have Jeremy Clarkson in my house. I'm sorry.
Yeah, to us, he means nothing but the guy who's on Top Gear. I'm sure he's...
Yeah, he's the kind of asshole guy from Top Gear. He's the Will Smith of Top Gear. That's the way I like to think
There's nothing wrong with saying that you wanted to be the Top Gear of tech shows. In fact, I would watch that show.
I mean, so the idea is that we want to build a variety show around technology. We're going to try a few episodes. We have the next two or three mapped out. See how it goes, see if people like it, and decide whether or not to charge on from there.
All right, very interesting.
So first one's up now. Next one will be up in about a month. We'll do one a month is the plan.
Okay.
So back to technology news. New Blackberries.
Really?
RIM is releasing.
They're still making those?
OS 7 Blackberries.
People are still using them.
One is a Bold. It looks like the old Bolds, but it has newer CPU, more memory, and newer OS.
It's always funny. Like, you know how on Facebook or even on Twitter, you can see where people posted their status updates from.
Right.
I'm using Twitter for desktop or web, Twitter for iPhone.
Yeah. Like what device you use.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I see a surprising number of Facebook for BlackBerry. Or
really? I've never seen that.
Posted from BlackBerry.
Yeah, I suppose. I saw someone post the other day about this HTC Status, the Facebook phone.
That's the Facebook phone. Yeah,
is that a thing?
It has a Facebook button.
Yeah, it's just an HTC Android phone with a Facebook button.
Okay. Right, just in time for people to be sick of Facebook. Brilliant.
Well, just for, bleeding edge technology enthusiast to be done with Facebook. My mom is still super into Facebook. Well, my mom's never been into Facebook.
My phone has a Facebook button. It's the Facebook app on my phone. I mean, why is a physical button really that compelling?
For some people.
Idiots.
Gary Whitta, polarizing as ever. Dear Facebook users, you are D-U-M.
BlackBerry's. So what is that? Are they still doing physical keyboards? Are they all touchscreen now? Yeah, what's the vibe?
So there's a bunch of different phones. There's a couple of new Torch models, which are the touchscreen models. The slider,
but without the keyboard now.
Yeah, but these are no slider torches basically. So it's touchscreen only torches.
Okay,
it's not the Storm though. Remember.
And then there's
no click touchscreen.
But the thing about BlackBerry that people like is they like their physical keyboards, right? So BlackBerry presumably is still providing that option.
Yes. There is a slide, a top slide keyboard as well, and there's two Bolds as well that are updated with the vertical keyboard, and one is a top slide.
Now, is there anything in this new product line to suggest, either in the hardware, the software, or whatever, to suggest that BlackBerry is changing or reacting to what's going on in the market around them? Because obviously, BlackBerry's a little bit under siege these days from Android and iPhone and all these other platforms.
There are some touchscreen only BlackBerries.
But that's been the case for a while. I mean, they did react in that sense.
I haven't used a BlackBerry in so long. Do these touchscreen BlackBerries still have the buttons behind the screen that you can feel or no?
I don't know.
No.
What I find interesting about that is that I wonder if in BlackBerry, in reacting to the market in that way and seeing the physical keyboards were going away, kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater a little bit. Because as I said, the thing that BlackBerry diehards like and why they say loyal is they like that keyboard.
They still have two phones with real keyboards.
Right.
So, they're giving people options. Choice. It's what they have to offer that Apple doesn't really give people.
If you're not one of the people that's like in the enterprise, and I don't mean flying around in a spaceship, but like in corporate business, and when you show up for your job.
Okay, well.
I'm just going to let him finish. No, go on. Do the whole thing.
I'm done.
No, you're not. I really want you to finish it all the way to the end.
I can't do it.
Okay. Yes, and he doesn't know
I hit that high.
Yeah, you can't do the high part. You can't do the crescendo. There you go. Keep going. So you got there. You can do it.
Okay.
So my question is...
Space.
No, that's the beginning. It's so annoying.
I'm just trolling.
He really is like the annoying uncle that comes over at Thanksgiving and like thinks he's hilarious and like all the different little pranks and things that he does and...
GG button?
You just can't wait for him to leave.
Yeah.
That's
what I bring.
So unless you're one of these people that's basically stuck with a BlackBerry, like you show up your new job and the IT guy says, here's your new phone and it's a BlackBerry. This is what we use. Like if you're actually looking for a new phone.
I can't imagine normal consumers going.
That's the thing. If you've got the freedom war, which phone should I get? Like who's really going to say to you, oh, get a BlackBerry? Come on.
Well, if you send a shitload of email, that is a valid reason.
But just any other phone is just as good at email now. If not better, because you don't have to use all the BlackBerry.
The number of hardware keyboards are shorter by the day.
Right. So if you want a hardware keyboard,
right.
If you're one of those people,
I mean, I have.
If you're the kind of person that complains about optical drives being taken out of computers,
yes.
Like you want to live in the past,
yes.
Then by all means,
we got to get you and Lloyd on the same podcast. You're like the anti each other.
I know.
Lloyd was sitting here bitching about optical drives going away from yeah. computers the other day.
He's like, he can't wrap his head around it. He can't imagine buying his next computer.
I was like, when was the last time he used an optical drive? He's like, I can't remember.
I bet he complained when they took the old floppy drives out of the first iMacs as well.
Mm. Anyway.
Oh, speaking of Lloyd, he tweeted today, should he buy a MacBook Air?
And I shouldn't.
I said that because I want to talk about the MacBook Air.
That Again. Was a terrible segment.
Now, I would usually recommend that anyone buy a MacBook Air because it's a wonderful computer. And a lot of people bought them this round. You know, we saw those sales figures. They're selling out a lot of places. You bought one. Jeff bought one. My girlfriend bought one. I only didn't buy one this rev because I'm perfectly happy still with the one I got last generation.
I cut down a tree instead of buying one.
Yeah.
Is that anything? Does that count toward Apple's
financial? Well, again, let's just clarify. You paid someone to cut down a tree for you. You paid a real man.
That's true.
To come to your house.
A whole team of real men.
He paid to be emasculated. And also not have a MacBook Air.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, nature.
Yeah, no, do you understand why I've been so pissed off lately?
If you want to pay to be emasculated, you will find there are a wide range of professionals on the internet that could probably have done it a lot cheaper.
There's a whole section dedicated to that on Craigslist.
Yeah. And they have all kinds of tools and implements they use as well.
You're really sassy today. I like morning Gary better than afternoon Gary.
I don't know.
Maybe morning Gary's a...
Maybe it's because I've been away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. You got a lot of rage.
Three weeks worth of vitriol and
snark. We have a lot to prove. I mean, a lot of people said... That the what was it the BMW show
was one of the best podcasts we've ever done.
I thought it was terrible.
Terrible.
I didn't even listen to it.
Aww. I just like to say the only unifying factor. I think that you two are the ones that are bringing me down.
Is that what it is?
I mean, that's what I got.
Maybe you should start podcasting with other people if you feel that's what you need to really spread your wings and flourish.
I wonder if Jeff needs help.
Don't make me choose,
Nintendo
Gary.
Thing.
We still have an amazing race.
Yeah,
you're not participating.
You're hooked on my – you're hitched on my bandwagon for the time being there, Chan.
I don't think Lloyd should buy a MacBook Air. Why would he even consider it? He fucking hates a Mac. He hates Apple products. He hates Apple.
It's because you can run Windows 7 on it.
You can run Windows 7 on PCs.
Sure, absolutely. And I told him on Twitter, I think he should wait to see how the new Samsung Series 9, the 11-inch ones –
But is he saying that he wants the form factor and the convenience of a MacBook Air, but he wants the Windows 7 OS?
He posted the question on Twitter.
He's a nutter. I like Lloyd as well, but he's wrong about a lot of things.
This is, I think, quite possibly the best laptop I've ever bought.
It's the MacBook. It's for different things, but
to
I would
clear,
say...
To be clear, you've only ever bought two laptops.
No, the 27-inch iMac that is my main computer at home, and my 11-inch MacBook Air from the last generation that is my kind of couch moving around, going on the road.
It's like computer. Papa computer, baby computer.
They are in their own ways, the two best computers I've ever owned.
What about that one that we helped you build?
That's great for games.
But like on the scale of best computers you've ever owned,
okay. You're talking about the one that we helped him build, not the one that you
not
helped
the one
him build.
That Viderman helped.
That turned Gary off.
Oh
PC
my
gaming.
God, that was terrible.
No, that was Viderman helped him build that.
That was a nightmare. The last
heckled.
I don't even think about that PC as a computer. I think of it as like a games rig. It's a games console.
Okay, so just it's your PC gaming console.
Yes, basically, it's all I use it for.
That's fair enough.
It's my Steam machine.
Should we talk about more technology?
So, I mean, Norm, you're still very much – the honeymoon period of you and your MacBook Air is not yet over, right?
Not yet over. I will say some gripes.
Let's talk about
battery life.
What we've been testing.
Okay.
He is.
I am. We're all over the place today.
Oh, my God. It's upside down show. Hey, Norm, what have you been testing?
I've been testing this MacBook Air in addition to other laptops, actually, and tablets. But battery life, I've never seen the indicator. Maybe I should turn off the indicator. Say over 4 hours, even though people have recorded 4.5
Particularly
hours.
Particularly on the – again, you would have seen – if you'd have went with the 13, you would have seen slightly improved battery life. Well,
significantly improved battery life. But I also had the Core i7 1.8 gigahertz. And Nan just posted a really good story just about this particular model, the 1.8 gigahertz version, and how much power usage and performance differs from the 1.6 stock.
Oh, interesting.
And it does significantly drain more power.
So that's the question. Is the offset really worth it?
You get an additional about 20% CPU boost, performance boost.
Okay. I mean, that's the thing is, if you're going to buy the laptop, it's going to last you 2 or 3 years. The extra CPU is definitely
right. You want to have a little.
You can play real games.
You want to have a little wiggle room there.
Also, 128 gig hard drive or solid state drive. I'm already feeling.
You got the 128.
Yeah, I'm on the 128. I'm already feeling how it's a little.
It is a little bit cramped.
I'm already feeling it. I'm at like 50 gigs left. StarCraft 2 alone is 12 gigs.
And when I have like, you know, 10 gigs in Dropbox and stuff, it adds up.
My girlfriend had the same problem. She just got the new 13-inch MacBook Air, and she went from an old 15-inch MacBook Pro, which had a 320-gig hard drive. She's gone to the 128-gig SSD because the 256, it's another $300.
That's a $300 upgrade.
Yeah. So that was where she felt the middle ground was. But then when the time came to migrate, you know, obviously it's a faster computer. It's lighter. It's better in many, many ways. But in terms of the storage, she had to start, because she keeps all her pictures and many other things. And she had to make some tough choices about what she would migrate over and what she would just keep on an external drive.
Well, if it's your primary computer, then you have – and you have media and photos and video and stuff like that, then you have a storage problem. If it's – Norm is using this – I mean, your primary computer is your gaming PC at home at this
point. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is like your main work computer.
This is main work computer, but increasingly now I'm on the couch doing real work with this.
Yeah.
And even in bed.
But you're streaming music and stuff from RDO or Spotify or whatever service you're using this week.
Yeah, Spotify on here. Yeah. And Flash. Is the other thing. Flash, like websites suddenly loading Flash videos.
Well, Flash video in general
destroys battery life and it makes the laptop really hot, really loud for no reason. I have to open activity monitor, realize that it's Flash that's doing it, and then kill web pages.
On one of the things I found on Lion in general is that Flash performance is really, really shitty compared to what it was in Snow Leopard. Whether you're playing Flash games or web video or whatever, it's not good.
Yeah.
So anyway. Should we go back to talk about technology some more?
We are talking about Apple news. One other thing, you know, last week we did talk about how some of the MacBook Airs have different hard drives. One's made by Samsung, I believe. Other one's made by Toshiba, and one is supposed to be clearly better than other. It also turns out the 11-inch Airs have different panels, LCD panels.
That's interesting.
One is made by LG, and one is made by Samsung. And Antec did some very detailed testing, and he says it's mostly the same, so you shouldn't have to worry. I have the newer LG one, which people are saying might be worse.
This podcast is very strangely structured. We like started with some kind of bizarre form of fake outtakes, and then did some what we're testing, and now we're going to talk about news. It's all backwards.
I also love the like the intermittently stepping back and evaluating the structure of the podcast every 10 minutes or so, and then going back and diving right back into it.
You've got to constantly course correct. You got to check in to make sure that it's all good.
Speaking of
course correction. I'm excited for this.
Oh, my God. It's another segue.
See what I mean? Potential course correcting.
Oh, my God.
And that we'll be doing I don't want to spoil it. I guess I shouldn't spoil it.
Wait, what's he talking about?
What are you talking about?
We're talking about
what?
Big live show.
We can't spoil that.
We can't spoil it. Okay.
Don't spoil that.
Not talking about
it. No spoilers. We do have to do
September 9.
We do have to figure out when this Voyager marathon is going to happen.
That's very – yeah,
a lot of people ask me about it. We announced the –
you can't do it on the 12th.
The episodes amongst much fanfare and then nothing else. We need to lock in a date.
You can't do it on the 11th.
Why? What's that?
Because I'm gone and I want to see these.
Wait, 11th
of
what?
September.
But you just bitched and moaned
the last
time.
We're not going to watch Voyager.
I did not bitch and moan. I had a nice time.
You complained about them.
Why? When did I complain? You're mistaking me for the other – chubby balding guy Stapleton.
Wait, so you're?
Oh, he's not going to like that.
What?
Huh.
Calling him chubby.
I haven't seen him in a while. Is he not chubby anymore?
I don't know. I don't think anybody would like it.
Well, I call myself chubby.
You're allowed to insult yourself, not other people.
Oh well.
If I say you're an idiot, then that's rude.
Yeah, fuck you.
See what just happened?
I can't do this weekend. I can't do the weekend after that.
Oh my God, this is never going to happen.
I can't do the weekend after that because it's my birthday, and then there's PAX. I think September 18th.
We could do it at PAX. That'd be a good use of PAX time.
No, that's a waste.
No, we're not doing PAX. There's going to be enough going on at PAX.
$400 for a hotel to watch Voyager.
Get a bunch of people in a conference room at PAX, and we'll just sit and watch Voyager on the laptop.
No, there's going to be enough going on at PAX. We don't need to bring that into it.
When we come back.
Apple TV, you can stream old TV purchases now.
Yeah, and they added Vimeo too.
Yeah, they added an update came out. I haven't installed it yet.
Yeah, I need to update.
So anything you purchase, this fixes the gap since they switched the TV rental model with the new Apple TV, where you absolutely the only way to get content was to download it to your PC and then stream it across the local network, which is just dumb.
Right, and it's not like this is some wonderful improvement. This is basically them fixing a stupid error that should have been there in the first place.
This is going back to Apple TV 1.0 functionality, which is a good thing. I'm pro that. So if you have Apple TV, you should download that update now and all of your – it also means that I don't have to store a whole shitload of TV that my wife has bought from iTunes over the years on my computer anymore. It can just be deleted now, which is happy-making. More Apple stuff, iCloud, we're seeing the first hints. We got a little bit of pricing details. Norm, the web interface went live last week. What does it look like?
I don't have access to it because I'm a developer. Oh. But I've seen it. It looks like iOS.
It does look like iOS.
It looks like a web a site optimized
version
for web, for your phone, for tablet, blown up on a full screen.
That's pretty much it. You can
it's pretty cool. You can do like some offline stuff. There's and the notification pop-ups. It's really cool what they're doing with HTML5.
Well, the notification pop-ups look like the bad, broken notification pop-ups from iOS 4 and earlier that they're getting rid of now. Or not getting rid of, but minimizing.
They're replacing with notifications.
Yeah. One of the things that people had talked about was that there would not be a web interface for contacts, mail, all the stuff that's in MobileMe right now as web interfaces. I don't pay for MobileMe, so I don't know what's in there. But it's like a calendar, address book, mail view.
Yeah, right? It's basically web versions of all those apps.
There's still going to be web versions of all those apps. Yeah. You can still get them.
Yeah.
Pricing details, it seems like it's going to be on par with Dropbox. So I think $50 a year – sorry, $100 a year for 50 gigabytes of storage.
5 gigs for free, right?
Five gigs for free.
Yeah.
25 gigs if you – or I can't remember what the music – how much you get from – I guess it's just whatever music you have for $25 a year. If you pay for the iCloud music service.
Yeah, and if they're doing iTunes Match, that won't count against your allocation.
Right.
So that's good. I'm really looking forward to iCloud, mostly the document syncing. Like being able to write a document in Pages and know that it's just going to be on my iPad without me having to kind of share it over there is going to be great.
I guess that's true. I use Dropbox for that stuff now, but I never ever write anything on Pages on the iPad.
I use Pages, so it's very useful for
me. No, I use Pages on the Mac. I actually started using Pages on the Mac since I did the Lion review. It's a really nice word processor.
It's really nice. It's very simplified. It does all the things I want it to do. It has a nice full screen mode. It does all the things that like exports PDF. And
yeah.
The only thing I don't like about the new Lion version of Pages because it does the constant saving thing is they took out save as. Sometimes I want to
duplicate.
Yeah, so you got to duplicate, and then when you save it, it'll ask you what you want to save it as.
Yeah,
it's kind of annoying.
It's too the whole version.
Brad is being driven crazy about.
We'll talk about that in a minute. I'm going to run through the rest of the news real quick. Instagram has 150 million photos. 80% of them have filters that make them look shittier than the original photos.
Now, to put this in perspective, Instagram's been out for, less than a year now?
But right at a year.
And it took Flickr significantly longer to get its 150 million.
But Flickr launched in 2000.
Completely understood. And also compared to Facebook, Facebook is in like, I think the record Facebook was like 750 million in a weekend over New Year's. So,
wow, that's a lot of pictures.
Yeah. So Instagram is no Facebook, but given that it's only on iOS, it's not on Android.
Yeah, you can't even browse the photos really on the PC.
Why is there still no Android app for something that's so popular on iPhone?
It could be because the cameras on Android are a little bit up and down. Some of them are really good. Some of them are kind of shitty.
Maybe. Cameras on iPhone 3GS is pretty crappy too.
But this does open the door for this very interesting kind of aesthetic matter of taste issue where people like Norm, true hipsters. Instagram was kind of born out of Hipstamatic, right?
The whole
gimmick of taking your photograph and applying a filter that made it look like it was taken on an old-fashioned camera.
Not even an old-fashioned, but like a specific couple of shitty Russian cameras and weird stuff.
And this, of course, went through a very, very predictable hipster lifestyle life cycle. It was very popular with hipsters immediately, and then as it became mainstream, hipsters started to turn their backs on it. Now they don't like it anymore.
Never liked it.
I don't think Hipstamatic was ever popular with hipsters because of the name.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Most of the pictures, I think that the statistics are right. Most of the pictures that I see posted on Instagram have some kind of filter applied.
Right. They're sepia or yellow past or whatever.
Yeah.
I've never liked that. I feel like if you're going to take a picture of something and you care enough to take a picture that you're going to keep theoretically forever, you should not shit up.
But what I'm seeing on Instagram is not like Kodak moments, but just quick things that people have snapped. And they don't really care that much. And
I don't know. I feel like reducing fidelity is always weird.
See, the hipstery part of it, the idea of trying to make the picture look like an old fashioned, it came off an old Leica camera or something.
Well, that's offensive to me on a moral term.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But like, there's nothing wrong with just applying filters to a picture that make it look cool or interesting. Just on that level, I'm okay with that. So, and I think that's what Instagram kind of is now.
Well, so there's a difference. Like taking a photo and post processing and making it look really awesome in Photoshop and like spending time on it and adding value to that is a different thing than saying, oh, I want this to look like a Polaroid SL71 from 1971. Boom, and it just automatically happens. I mean, one is just dopey nostalgia. One is an artist doing his job.
But, you know, why does it bother you so much?
I don't care.
No one's making you do it to your pictures.
No, I don't. I use Instagram, but I always have the filters off.
Right. And if you do choose to apply a filter, don't you also have the option to save the original as well? So it's not like
you have to turn that on.
It's not just the act of using the filter. It's the act when they upload it, because the point of Instagram is also this little social network. People share their pictures. And when 80% of the pictures uploaded are filtered. And if Instagram success continues, you imagine a world where people are sharing, like if you go on
Twitter, imagine a world
and it's all these filtered photos. I want to see the actual place. If I want to see like a nice, you know, a place like Grand Canyon I'm going to visit, I want to see it for what it
I'm
is.
I'm sure you could find unfiltered pictures of the Grand Canyon.
I'm sure I could, but if the trend is that people are increasingly going to use filters, and it's, that
becomes
the norm.
This is a fad, though. This is like
150 million.
It is not a fad. It is absolutely a fad.
Right.
It'll go away.
I hope that's 150 the case.
Million is a fad. When you think about the volume of pictures
really
people take every day,
I hope that's the case. I know people who the photos they take now, they only upload the Instagram filter.
Well, that's because you're
I think like
assholes.
50 years from now, when we're all taking like 3D holo pictures, there'll be an Instagram that lets us take kind of what would look like great kind of.
You can flat 2D. Your 3D pictures.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh, no, it's so hipstery that people are making their pictures look 2D.
Do you remember in Voyager and in TNG when they would take 3D photos, but it would look like a giant Polaroid camera? So it's like the actual
I watched
physical.
That in Voyager recently. He's got a man. I'm like, hold on. Shouldn't cameras in the future be smaller?
It's smaller. No, it's like this big. He has a strap around his neck and this massive thing, and it takes 3D
But it's
pictures.
Taking 3D holo images. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that this is just a fad. The real question out of all this is why in the hell isn't there a Flickr app for my iPhone where I can just take pictures and it goes straight to my Flickr account?
That's a very good question, Will.
Because, you know, I've been paying for Flickr for a decade now. It started out as being a catalog of my adventures and then has turned into pictures of my failings and my dog, basically.
There is a very good Flickr app, but it's only for viewing pictures. There's
it's only
no
for viewing.
Camera button. That's dumb.
Right. And they don't support any of the Twitter APIs, so there's no easy way for me to like link my Twitter and Facebook accounts other than using that email thing, which is I'm never going to do, realistically.
Yeah.
I mean, Flickr has completely – Yahoo completely missed the boat with Flickr on all of the photo share. You know, by all rights, Flickr should have been the default service for Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of photo sharing.
Well, I think Apple now hopes that their photo stream is going to become that. There is a fairly painless process with this. When I take my iPhone home and dock it, any pictures I have, you know, get fed into iPhoto and there's a Flickr button right there. So
yeah,
I mean, you can do it.
I want to be able to do it from the phone. I want to be able to
agree.
I want to boom hit the button.
I don't understand why it seems like such an obvious thing.
Well, and I mean, the iPhoto thing is nice. The photo stream thing is nice. I have found for myself personally with music services, I'm much more interested in music services that aren't tied to a specific device. So whether it's Google Music or Amazon Cloud Player or iCloud, I'm much more likely to give my $10 a month to RDO or Spotify than I am to use something that I'm going to be hooked into a device forever and ever on. Because, I mean, whether iPhone is the best phone for me right now, it may not be in 5 more years.
So like you could build up a nice set of photos on PhotoStream and then a phone that is not Apple's comes along, you might like
it's
better.
Just
but then
a
you
nightmare to get them
then
off.
You can no longer – yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm leaning toward more open cross-platform.
I mean, it's not consumer friendly, but I understand that's what all the companies are into now. They're trying to invest.
Well,
they're trying to build up this sunk cost, right? They want, you know, like Facebook. You know, even though Google Plus, I think, is better in many ways, a lot of people are going to be reluctant to come over. Oh, I've got 15,000 pictures on Facebook, and Facebook is, of course, trying to make it difficult.
Oh yeah,
for you to get
you
that
cannot,
stuff
yeah,
over
index,
there.
You can't. I mean, you can download pictures individually.
I think that's kind of them doing me a favor. Though.
A friend of mine.
I don't want the same friends on Facebook on Google Plus.
A friend of mine knows someone at Google who said that they're working on Google Plus and they're saying like we keep very close tabs on like what Facebook's doing. Like we know stuff that's going on over there. And apparently and this is all obviously like third hand information, but Facebook is now mounting a very serious operation to do everything they can to obstruct Google Plus.
Well, of course.
I mean, that's just good business. I understand that.
Right. That kid from Zombieland is screaming his head off over there right now, probably.
Yeah.
Speaking of Google Plus, they've had a little bit of a traffic sag. Like the honeymoon might be over with Google Plus. It seems like
it's inevitable.
Only one third of the people in this room use Google Plus regularly.
I use Google Plus regularly.
Regularly? Really?
3 times a week, probably.
He's on there quite a bit. I'm on there. I'm definitely on there the most.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
But you're not really on Facebook or Twitter. I mean, you're on Twitter a little bit, but you're not really on Facebook either.
No.
So my thing about Google Plus is...
Which is weird because you're the one of the three of us.
He has a real life.
If you were to present the three of us to the average person and say, which one of these guys do you think is most active on Twitter and Google Plus, you'd point to...
He's outside the real world with girls. We're sitting at home watching The Bachelorette, so we have a lot of free time.
Yeah, it's pathetic really, isn't it?
I know.
We should talk about... As a related story, but did you read that Wired article? Aaron,
the one that you linked, the Facebook cost of friends?
No, it's the social media one about Twitter and Facebook And I think Tom from MySpace had an interesting retort to it.
Tom from MySpace. What is that guy doing now?
Tom from MySpace is sitting on Google Plus, getting tons of fans on Google Plus. He's become that's his platform.
Fucking Tom. We were never really friends. I tried to call him. I was like, Tom, what's going on?
But anyway, the Wired article is about how on Twitter and on Facebook, more on Facebook, what we type, we filter. We filter everything we type, but we spend a lot of time putting ourselves out there, an image of ourselves that we want other people to see on Facebook and Twitter. Everything you tweet or what many people tweet, they think about very consciously.
Really?
I just bash a lot of shit out. And then regret it later.
I just mash the rocks together.
That's the thing. I think a lot of people read it differently. I think, like, Gary, you put out whatever you want on Twitter. I curate my Twitter feed and my Facebook feed.
Well, yeah, because at your age, you're more concerned about your image.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why you care about wearing a nice t-shirt and me and Will don't give a shit.
Hey, I'm wearing a nice t-shirt.
Well, I mean, okay, but
I care about the t-shirt. Everything else I've let go.
So that's the thing.
In the same way that Norm is more, his senses are more heightened to the idea of like, how am I presenting myself? How do I look? You know, all that kind of my image.
So the idea of
my social stature.
Saying it looks like I don't care about my image.
What? You don't.
Yeah.
Come on, let's be honest. Neither of us do.
I'm getting a haircut.
We're both in relationships. We're both fairly old. Like, the game's over for us.
Yeah, I've started getting gray hair, Gary. It's fucking terrifying.
There's nothing. Oh, don't talk, dude.
I got gray.
I've got tons of gray hair.
You have dark hair though. It shows. Mine. I'm sitting in the car. I'm like, oh, what the fuck is that?
What is the deal with gray hair too? It's like really, I think, thicker than other hair.
No, you get them too.
I found two or three of them. I'm like, holy shit.
Are you
don't
pulling
you
them
worry.
Out?
I'm pull, totally pulling them
don't
out.
Pull them out.
Oh, what?
No.
Why are you not supposed to pull them out?
No, don't pull them out.
Many more will grow back in there.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, that's legit.
You've
holy shit. I've been totally.
No, don't do that. Cut them real close if you can do it.
I've totally been pulling them out.
But you got – how many did you have before?
Three.
Now you have nine.
Where are you pulling them out from?
Just picking them out. First of all, picking them out. Like, just the one strand, it's so hard to do. In the mirror, too.
Are you, like, pulling the follicle out?
I'm just yanking it out.
Oh
no! God.
What have you done?
Oh, no!
Oh, this is so bad.
You guys, are you fucking with me?
No, not at all, dude.
What?
Yeah, you're going to have – they come back multiples. You've superpowered all of those –
Wait, is this a way to, like, counteract hair loss, though?
No.
Because they grow back.
No.
Wait, how? What?
No, it's like you've
killed one of their own, and now they're
going to revisit.
Yeah,
yeah, they're pissed off.
Basically,
don't pull out the gray hairs.
Oh shit! I did not know this.
I did this on the beard because this is the thing that drives. I have the white hairs on the corners of my chin.
Yeah,
and then if I start doing it too much, I just stop paying attention. It becomes a nervous tic, and then I'll be like, "Fuck! I have a bald spot under my beard."
The hair physically feels different.
I pull another hair. It's just because I don't care. I'm going bald. I always said, and I've got to...
At least you've lost a lot of weight. You look really good, man.
But I'm old and I'm bald.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And I'm going gray.
Well,
and are you gonna
let it get all wispy and long like LD?
No. I always said that if I ever... I was always very proud of the fact that I have a good head of hair.
Yeah.
That's one of the few things I've got going for me. Yeah. Is at least I'm not going bald. And then one day, of course, I start going bald.
Yeah, that's...
And I'm going bald from the crown, so you don't see it right away.
Well, that's not bad.
But, like, you go to the hairdresser, you go to the barbershop, and they say, do you want to see the back? And you go, oh, no, shit.
You don't have a big spot, though.
I kind of do.
Do you decorate around it?
No, it's just, it's there.
Okay.
I'll show you. You can check it out.
It doesn't...
I always said that I would just... Because there's no dignity in that battle. You cannot win it.
No, you just look like a schmuck.
You just got to Picard it.
Right.
I've considered just shaving my head a couple of times to see what I would look like.
Oh.
But I did it in Photoshop one time.
It's not a good idea.
It didn't look good. And you don't know what's under there. Like, your head could be really bumpy and blotchy and weird.
We have friends. I have a friend who shaved his head and then came out looking like Lex Luthor. Like super duper Lex Luthor.
That sounds good though.
No. Not like cool Lex Luthor. Like 70s kind of bulbous head Lex Luthor.
Mm. Oh my god.
The thing, my biggest fear is actually not that I'll be bald, because I have a pretty good receding going here. But my fear is that I'll get mostly bald, but there'll still be the Michael Chiklis tuft in the front.
Oh, the Charlie Brown.
But then you can just get rid of it.
But then
look what Chiklis did, and Chiklis is fucking badass as a bald dude.
Chiklis is badass as a bald dude, but I'd rather be stone bald and then not have to maintain.
Look at.
I don't want to have to shave my head.
Look
every
at Bryan Cranston in the early years of Breaking Bad. Now look at him. Now
he looks pretty hard.
Badass with that bald head.
Huh.
It's true. Do you think you have to wax to get your head shiny like that?
The problem is, I think as long as you're not actually bald, you just decided you've got some hair but you want to shave it all off because you want to have like a sad amount of hair, is that you're going to have to – you're still going to have to maintain it.
The last fucking thing I need is more shit to shave.
Yeah. Because you're probably quite a hairy person, aren't you?
I don't shave anything but my neck. I don't really like doing that.
Don't you, you know?
No.
Really?
What?
Are you like a 70s porn star kind of guy?
I keep thinking.
I don't even want to think about it. It's
increasingly
so
uncomfortable.
Why are you asking
increasingly
this?
Uncomfortable.
Well, because when you said last thing I want is another thing to shave, you make it sound like you're like.
I meant my neck.
Oh, and I thought you were talking about.
Look, it's always it's a sensitive skin area.
Okay, but that's why you have a beard in the first place, right? Is that you don't.
I have a beard in the first place.
Why I have to shave it?
It covered up my double chin.
But I'm just saying there's a certain amount of grooming and cultivation that has to take place elsewhere as well. Otherwise,
but
I mean,
that's
it's
an occasional task.
Okay.
It's not like I'm doing that every week.
I should hope not.
Right. I'm not a gorilla. I'm not that hairy a guy.
All right. But some people are. So, like, some people have that Robin Williams thing going on, right? Where they're super duper hairy.
God, the hair shirt.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Remember The Amazing Race, that one episode?
Yeah, that guy was
those
so hairy.
Two guys had to get waxed.
It was like the 40-year-old version.
Look at that. Like Steve Carell was super hairy, right? That was all his real hair.
Really?
Yeah, he really got waxed.
Oh, my God.
That wasn't special effects. They really waxed
it. Had to take 10 years to grow back right.
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
He made a lot of money, Kelly Clarkson, that was one, you know, once in a several year.
Right. Have you never heard that thing where, like, if you shave or wax your hair, it's going to grow back?
No, if you wax,
more?
It comes back thinner.
Oh, okay.
It gets thinner and thinner the more you wax. Yeah, you understand.
They went through this on Seinfeld, where Jerry was going to shave his chest.
Don't
shave
your chest.
Kramer said, don't do that.
No. And then he took off his shirt, and Michael Richards is a hairy dude.
Yeah. Well, you never saw it. You just knew it was awful.
I think you saw him, but
no, you didn't.
On.
It was done from an angle where
show.
You didn't see. No, you didn't see it.
Oh, okay. Anyway, don't pull the gray hairs, Chan. Yeah. Old wives. Right.
You've still. I mean, you've still got a good few years. Yeah. Like I said, for me and Will, it's all over. But
you. I'm three years younger than you.
It's over.
4 years younger than you.
You've still got at least a good decade of being like a cool dude. That's, where women still want to, you know, talk to you and stuff.
Well, except for he hangs out with us.
Yeah.
We're bringing him.
No, that makes him look even better. Don't you get it?
Oh, that's
why
true.
He hangs out with us.
We're the perfect wingman.
That's the only reason, is that next to us, he looks that much better.
That's true. Wow, I never thought about that. I'm the ugly one.
Yeah, we're basically just his accessories.
That seems about right. Let's see. Instagram, iCloud. Well, we did that. Chrome 13 adds instant search. Do we care?
I don't even know what it is.
Chrome 13.
Well, it's Chrome beta 13. Feature, dev feature.
Yeah,
now it's on.
It's been in beta for ages.
I'll be happier when they add some Lion support. Because now, I moved back to Safari.
Wow.
I love the new Lion, the Safari features in Lion.
You are such a fanboy.
But no, but I'm not a super fanboy because I'll just go with what's better.
Okay.
The way that I work and the things that I like, the Mac solution and the Apple solution just so happens to be better for me most of the time. I like Safari, but I don't just automatically go, oh, Apple, that has to be better even though I don't like it as much. I'm a Chrome user. I took Safari off my toolbar, and for a long time I used Chrome.
Okay.
But then with Lion, with the new Safari features, and because Chrome is kind of broken in Lion, I'm back on Safari. When Google catches up and fixes all the things that are broken about inline, I'm sure I'll go back to Chrome.
So did you see the link I tweeted a few weeks ago, the bug track for Chrome, when the developers were talking about Lion, adding Lion support to Chrome and how passive aggressive that whole thing was?
No.
I'll dig it up and send it to you. It was really funny. It's basically the internal bug track that the Chrome open source community uses to determine what features they're going to implement and when. And it was like this back and forth between the Mac people who desperately want the full size button to work. The guy who says, fine, I'll put the full size button in the right place. The Mac users who come back and say, wait, you put the button in, but it doesn't work right. It doesn't do this and this and this. And he's like, well, we can't do that. It's going to be our full size screen. It's fantastic. It's the nerdiest thing I've read on the internet.
I wonder if it's anything to do with this. You know, Google have been complaining lately about this. They think there's some kind of conspiracy between Apple and Microsoft to destroy Android.
Oh, no.
What they're saying?
There is no conspiracy. Google said that Microsoft Legal released a screen cap of an email they sent where Google said, we don't want to partner with you. Google looks stupid in that article.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
All right. Good to know.
Oh, this is breaking.
Skype for iPad?
Let's do
Skype for iPad. Still working for Facebook for iPad. Oh, and then apparently Twitter.com now works.
Oh yeah,
iPad.
It's the new HTML5 version.
Why would you use that though if you have the app?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
There are certain things about the Twitter iPad app that are really seriously broken.
Really, I love the Twitter iPad app.
Try to delete a direct message and see what happens.
I don't. Why would you delete a direct message?
Because I don't want them cluttering my inbox. I just want conversations that are current and relevant.
Wow, you do Twitter inbox zero?
Why would?
Hold on. Were you here?
If I send you a direct message saying, "Oh, I'll be there in 10 minutes," and you go, "Okay, dude," and then like 2 weeks later, why do I still want that?
I just don't care enough to delete them.
Just a mess. I like my inbox to be nice and neat.
Well, you delete direct mess
after the once they're no longer relevant. Yeah. What's but the
no
point?
One, in, no one sees them.
I don't care. I don't want them there.
Twitter for iPad looks just like Twitter for web now.
Yeah.
Or Twitter web interface.
Yeah.
Anyway, Skype is out for iPad. You can do 3G or video calling over 3G or Wi-Fi. Works very well.
I'm going to download that. I hardly ever use Skype, but do you have nice to have.
Why do you think they let 3G work? Because 3G doesn't work on the phone, right?
I don't know.
I thought 3G, you couldn't do calls over 3G on the phone. Maybe they changed that and I just didn't know.
Can you do video calling on the Skype iPhone app?
Right. iPad.
iPhone, I'm asking.
I'm not sure about iPhone. It's weird. I know a lot of people actually just use Skype for text chat. For IM, nothing else.
Yeah, some people do.
Yeah, business encrypted.
I tell you what really feels like it's been a big fizzle is this whole Skype integration into Facebook. Their new chat sidebar they've got is shitty.
I want to know. I went logged on to Facebook for the first time in ages the other day, and the immediate first reaction I had was I'd like to turn this off.
It's really poorly integrated.
Yeah.
It's really inefficient. I don't like. It's just show me a list of all my friends that are offline. Why do I need to see those? It really feels like something that was rushed out in response to Google Plus. I think they were working on this stuff. That like, oh shit, we got to move this up.
You should get used to that. Breaking news, Norm.
Breaking news. This is a Cult of Mac claims from reliable source that the Magic Mouse.
What's the reliable source?
They say reliable source, quote unquote reliable source.
All right,
Magic Mouse might be going away in favor of the trackpad.
No. I'll never stand for that.
It's impossible.
That's rubbish. If that's true, I would go and buy like 10 Magic Mice and keep them in my cupboard so they would never go bad. Because I bought the Magic Trackpad because it has an Apple logo on it. But I didn't like it.
I've been using it.
An Apple product I didn't like. How could this be real?
Wait. But you use it. It's basically you just use it with your
desktop.
Yes.
If they released a keyboard that looked exactly like the bottom half of a laptop.
Yeah, I would totally use
I would
that
buy that. That's what they need to do. They need an integrated keyboard with the trackpad where it is.
I have been saying this
that I would buy
for years.
Why don't they do that, Will?
I don't know because they're assholes.
I guess you could do it yourself and put it beneath it, but that would be shitty.
No, you need the angle.
The angle is the key.
Because the right side, that's a palm rest.
Yes.
The empty space is a palm rest for typing. And
the thing I want is actually a split with the thing kind of up in the middle between the space bar.
I don't want that. The thing is because I go back and forth between my desktop and my laptop, the best thing for me is if it's to be the same experience each time, right? Yeah. It's a bit like part of the reason why I eventually turned off natural scrolling is because I love it on the laptop.
Yeah,
but I don't love it on my mouse.
No, it doesn't.
And
make
I don't
sense
want. I, and I can't. I can't switch my brain back and forth all the time. So I
see. I switch back and forth.
You can't switch your brain. I had to switch my brain because I use both PC and Mac. I had to remember that Command C and Control C are different things.
Oh, I changed the time. I changed the Mac keyboard to mimic the PC.
No,
keyboard.
I actively switch, and I'm going back and forth on two separate keyboards.
I do that sometimes. Like when I'm on my gaming PC, I have to remember that the keys aren't the same, and it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, and I use a PC keyboard for my Mac also.
Yeah.
And at the
well, moment, that makes
I
even
use,
worse.
And I use the Windows key as the command key. And
see,
so I
have everything except for my gaming PC, which I never ever work on. All my other machines are mimicking the Mac keyboard layout.
Really?
Yeah, agree. Yeah, including the PC keyboard hooked up to my Mac.
What I love about having a Mac laptop and a Mac desktop is the chiclet keyboard layout is basically the same. That I don't have to remember two different kind of sets of muscle memory for where the keys are and how they feel. Like when I first switched from the old PC type, I had a Logitech keyboard that was plugged into my Mac.
Yep.
And then I bought an Apple chiclet keyboard and I couldn't type for a while. I really had to kind of retrain myself where the keys were, how the keys felt. Now I've got it down and I love the fact that, I can go back and forth between those two keyboards. But what they really, I would buy that in a split second. I would give up the Magic Mouse if they released a keyboard that had a fixed trackpad exactly as it's fixed to the bottom half of the laptop.
Yeah, basically you want a keyboard that's the same as the laptop keyboard for the mouse.
That's a great idea. Apple should do that.
Yeah, somebody should. Well, there are people that make those, but usually the trackpads are really shitty low-quality trackpads.
Yeah, exactly. I want the nice glass Apple shit.
So, I've been using the Magic Trackpad since I started on the line review, since I hooked up my Mac to the big monitor at my desk.
Yeah.
And it took me a little bit of getting used to, but I'm actually kind of into it now.
Well, I think what they did do a good job of is finding the mouse alternatives for a lot of the gestures. So instead of swiping three fingers up for mission control, you just do two quick taps with two fingers. Not even clicks, just touch
taps. On the
taps.
Magic mouse?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you get mission control that way, and it works great.
See, I'm using the trackpad is what I was saying, though. So I just use the normal gestures from the
But again, I don't – when you start putting the trackpad as its own separate thing, it doesn't – it's not as good.
It took me a little while to get used to it, but I'm okay with it.
I actually got a hand cramp using it. I didn't like it.
I'd rather have it where my thumb, though. I think thumb is a good place for that.
Mm.
Skype for iPad, why we should not be afraid of facial recognition.
Well, just technologies in general.
Yeah, don't fear technology.
Yeah. You know, face recognition is technology that we – that. You look at all these tech demos, and it's here.
It's another Minority Report,
but it's
thing,
done
but
and ready.
It's real. Yeah,
it's real. It works really well in many instances. Not like back in 2002 when
tell that to my fucking Kinect stories. That can never tell who I am.
Well, that's because your lighting's bad in your room.
And also,
I refuse to accept that.
And it's consumer software. The thing is, people are very resistant to facial recognition technology. There's rumors that Facebook has. I mean, the whole like automatic tagging that I think they kind of rolled out. Technology's there.
Google has said they've had the same thing and actually aren't using it.
They aren't using it because people are afraid of it.
Yeah. Well, the faces thing in iPhoto, I didn't think that was scary. I thought that was wonderful.
No, it's awesome. Saves me a lot of trouble.
But is that people having like Skynet type issues? Is that the thing?
They're afraid of like profiling, their privacy concerns, all that kind of thing. We have a story up on the site right now. Don't fear technology.
Love technology.
Yeah. And Google have become allergic to this, right? Like, they're so concerned with their image of not getting stuck into that Facebook quagmire of people starting to think they're evil that they are very, very careful about all of this stuff now. Like, to a fault, like, they're actually kind of not doing stuff that would be very cool because they're terrified of how people might not like it.
So then the last story, Ryan wrote a good piece. I think it was Ryan, wasn't it? Or was it Wes? Who, the Android ads?
Ryan.
Notification. It was Ryan, yeah. So, ads, if you have some free apps installed for Android, you might have noticed that ads are popping up in your notification window.
That is the worst thing ever.
Ryan has a story on the site that tells you how to fix that and what kind of apps are causing the problems right now. But I just want to talk about ads in phones, you know, just as a topic.
Sure.
Okay.
How do you guys – like Norm, I think that ads popping up in the notification thing for Android is probably the worst idea I've ever heard. I agree with Norm.
That sounds very poor.
But I mean, is there a good way to do advertising on mobile, or are you guys resigned to always paying for your apps?
Apple tried iAds, and I do use some ads or some apps, free apps. Ad supported apps where I don't notice the ads at all. I see the little iAds like icon in the corner, and it doesn't bother me. I never click on them, never do the interactive part, never watch Toy Story 3 trailer, but you know, it doesn't bother me.
I mean, fortunately, they are. So far, at least, they've managed to maintain some level of discipline where ads on phones are not yet anywhere near as obnoxious as they can be on the web. That may actually only simply because the technology – it's not like they've decided to be better citizens.
Because the market's not there.
They just can't do it yet.
Yeah.
Well, you think about like ad support of Kindle. That's kind of the same thing. Like subsidizing
product.
That's true. And but the ad's going to be there in the menu.
Annoying pop-ups, pop-ups and things. I thought that tweet you made this week was great. There's a really useful Chrome extension that can identify which of your tabs is now running an ad.
Oh, my God. This
really
is the best
idea.
Thing ever. Yeah. So do you remember what the name of it is? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Was it called Noisy Tab or something like that?
I think that's what it was. Yeah. And it actually flashes the tab.
It's a great idea.
That is making noise right now.
So this is a common problem. I mean, I don't have...
Oh, my God.
I'm not one of these people like you or Leah that like keeps 50 fucking tabs open. I don't know how you can do that. You might have three or four tabs open at once.
50, but I have 10 or 15.
But every now and again, you know, you're using your web browser and some ad will start on one of your tabs and you'll be like, where the hell is that coming from? And that can be very annoying.
Norm has at least 13 open 14, right 15, now.
16, yeah, 17, that's a lot of tabs. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I have 22 tabs open right now, over five spaces.
Yeah.
But on the phone side, I don't know. It's the iAds are okay. I've never actually clicked on one. As long as there's a little banner at the bottom of the screen, I don't find it that offensive.
I kind of don't mind sponsored stuff. But then other stuff like Hanging with Friends. I don't know if you downloaded that. I was thinking, oh man, sweet, Hangman, but from the Words with Friends guys. And then that was the shittiest app ever, both because the apps were bad and because it wasn't actually Hangman.
All that stuff's really gone downhill since Zynga took it over.
Oh yeah, it's stinky. I remember when Words with Friends was fun.
I was at the airport today and I wanted to log. They've changed the SFO. They've changed the – they used to get 45 minutes of free Wi-Fi.
You don't get that anymore?
No, you still do.
Oh, okay.
But now – you have to, there's a page.
Do you have to play Farmville to get it?
There's a page that comes up that says, you have to do one or two things to either get your free Wi-Fi.
Okay.
You either have to take a survey. He was like, oh, that sounds like a lot of hassle.
Anal probe.
Or watch a 30-second ad.
30-second ad.
So I said,
SFO, right?
Yeah. So I clicked on it. But I refused to watch the ad. I turned the sound off the phone and put the phone in my pocket for 30 seconds and just waited for it to be over. It's amazing how intolerant we become.
Find a happy place.
Like Sarah from Comic Vine posted a video link for something that I would have been interested in seeing. And when I clicked on it,
15-second pre-roll.
I get a 15-second ad for the fucking Olive Garden.
Fuck that.
And I just decided, you know what? It's not worth it. It caused me to reevaluate. How much do I really want to watch this content? No, it's not worth watching a 15-second Olive Garden ad. So I didn't see it.
Well, I usually just move to another tab and then come back later and it'll be ready.
Did make me want Olive Garden, though.
I don't like Olive Garden.
There's breadsticks.
Oh. You can't have breadsticks.
That was the problem. You know what's really good? The only thing I really do miss are those cheesy biscuits at Red Lobster.
I do like those.
Those are fucking great.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I had a sad moment the other day because I had had kind of a light dinner and I was about 10 o'clock. I was hungry. I was like, oh man, I really want some food. What should I have?
You shouldn't be eating that late.
I understand that I should not. I was fully aware that I was making a poor decision.
You know what really pisses me off? That's when they start running all the fucking Taco Bell commercials. Yeah. Those bastards.
It's a fifth meal, fourth meal.
Fuck that. I hate that they make me. I mean, I'm not going to go out and get the food. I mean, I live a mile
from the best Taco Bell in the country.
Like, obviously, there's a huge audience of Harold and Kumar's out there, right, that are sitting there watching TV late at night, and they're
dude,
we got to get in the car.
No. If they're Harold and Kumar's, do not get in the car.
Not necessarily stoned, but just sitting around like.
So you're saying people of different ethnicities then?
No. Just like, you know, college kids or whatever that are just sitting around and they will go out and get a fucking Taco. People that can eat a fucking double X burrito late at night and not have it, you know, bother them.
So here was the sad realization I had. When you get old, what happens is you look at a piece of toast with butter and nothing else on it as a late night treat. I was like, oh man, I'm going to have a piece of bread. I was like, a bread?
I don't think that's necessarily that sad. Like, you know, the way that I eat, I can't have that anymore. But back in the day, a good piece of toast on good crusty bread and real butter.
I'm not talking about fancy bread. I'm just talking about real butter. But I'm talking about like half of an English muffin. But
the real butter is the key. If you put some nice hot melted butter, that's not lame. That's a tasty treat.
Yeah, but it's not a piece of cake. It's nothing fancy. It's bread.
You know what else is really?
I used to just eat bread without thinking about it.
But you know what? But don't you also enjoy like as a late night snack, like a bowl of cereal?
No, I don't eat cereal.
I used to do
that. I don't, but there's nothing. That's a legitimate late night snack.
But you look at how many calories in a bowl of cereal?
Oh, it's terrible.
I haven't had cereal in about 10 years.
People should not eat cereal. But if you're going to be one of those people, if you are one of those people that just genetically can eat what the fuck they like, you know, if you're like 20 or whatever, then by all means.
Hold on, those are two different things. Young people and people who can genetically eat what they want. Those circles don't necessarily overlap.
When I was 20 years old, I could eat whatever the fuck I wanted.
Oh, okay.
I used to have to walk around in the shower to get wet. I was really skinny.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Huh. So that's it for news.
Is it?
Yeah, we've talked about a bunch of other stuff too. I'm going to play the music, and then we should talk about what we've been testing, except for Norm's MacBook. So, Gary, what have you been testing?
I've been testing a number of things.
Okay. Name one.
I got my own Zodrushi.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What color?
You're too far away.
Okay.
Okay.
Pathetic.
Pass it on.
Air bump. Yeah, pass that over here. All right, there you go.
That was the lamest thing I've ever done.
That was pathetic.
I had to touch both of you.
On both fronts.
Yeah, that's gross. So Leah bought it for me for my birthday. She also
got one for herself.
What happened was it came the first time it got sent, it was the wrong shape, then it was the wrong size. We ended up with two, basically. I got the big one and she got the smaller one. Now, I want Zodrushi. Fantastic. I love it. No arguments. I do have a couple of
Can I guess what your problems are?
Yeah.
One is that it keeps beverages hot for too long.
Well,
which is the thermos equivalent of I have too much passion for my job or I care too much during a job interview.
Well, that would be the case if my problem were as articulated as simply as that. Okay. But there's more to it.
Okay.
The problem is there's nothing wrong with it keeping coffee hot for too long. Like, for example, I bought some coffee.
Okay.
It was in my car. Okay. And the next morning, I actually forgot that I had it.
Oh boy!
I open up the flask the next morning, still and drinkable. The coffee's still hot. It's amazing. And so it's not that it keeps the coffee hot for too long. It's that if you put the coffee in too hot, it's never going to get to a temperature where it's going to take hours to get to the temperature where it's drinkable.
If you leave the lid open,
I tried that.
If you leave the lid unscrewed,
look.
Unscrew it. Take the lid off entirely.
Oh, okay. That'll
cool it down in like 15 minutes.
Okay, so that's a better tip. So here's the thing. There are many things about the Starbucks that I love. I drive to LA a lot, as you know. And I stop sometimes at Starbucks on the way to get a coffee.
Do you have a favorite Starbucks on the road?
Just
on
whatever.
I-5?
You know, I tweeted this the other day, and some people agreed and some people didn't. I know there's a lot of anti-Starbucks sentiment out there, especially over here on the left coast. but I like Starbucks. And I kind of feel like no matter how, you know how like sometimes, if you're in a shitty neighborhood, the McDonald's is probably going to be shitty, right?
Yeah.
Like if you get, there's a McDonald's in Oakland, which is just like the end of the fucking world.
That's racist.
There's nothing to do with race. It's got nothing to do with race.
You said Oakland.
Well, how is that? How is it? What?
Doesn't matter.
Moving on.
Carry on.
Anyway.
Gary's flummoxed. Have I rendered Gary Whitta speechless?
Just through nonsense.
Yeah.
When you say things that are nonsensical.
So the point is that there are good Starbucks.
Yes.
The point is that even if you stop at this like shitty little kind of awful truck stop off the five.
Yes.
You know, halfway between here and LA in the middle of the fucking desert. The Starbucks is still very nice. It's like, they're relatively. It's like a little pocket of civilization. No matter where you get, how desolate the area.
You mean you can go anywhere and hear some John Mayer or Dave Matthews
T-Bone
band
Burnett
play?
Or,
yeah,
you know, and you can sit in a relatively nice chair.
Yeah,
and the people are relatively friendly.
There might be
friendly.
A fake fire.
Yeah, we had to go get Starbucks on our drive back from CES late at night on the way there. Yeah. We totally
That was a good Starbucks,
but
too.
You know, yeah. But there's never like the kind of the homeless guy with like the grizzled beard with like blood all over his face and like 10 shopping bags that you get at a bad McDonald's.
I've got no beef with Starbucks, and I actually have no beef with McDonald's either, because say what you will about McDonald's, but their corporate policies are very strict on bathroom cleanliness. So even though I don't eat their food, I have partaken of their bathroom
many times, as we said before, they have great Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Free Wi-Fi bathrooms,
which doesn't make you watch an ad or anything. They just give it to you.
No, they don't even talk up fries before
But there's Wi-Fi in Muni now.
Really?
I've been noticing the past month and a half. I've been getting this free Wi-Fi rail working in Muni. Yesterday I tried it again. There's a login screen. It's gonna be a service.
That's very valuable because, of course, underground you may not even be getting your 3G.
That's something. If I could pay $15 a month and get Wi-Fi on BART,
for commuters, that would be wonderful. It'd make your commute much easier.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay $15 a day.
Well, I don't know.
I'd pay $15.
But like, you know what? On flights, when you can get the go-go in-flight, that makes a flight go so much faster.
If the flight's longer than 90 minutes, it's always worth it.
Absolutely.
Well, see, with the flight, it works because it's on the plane and you're moving, but your signal is coming from the plane. If the routers are at the stations, the handoff might not work. So you might lose a connection in the tunnel.
Well, I don't think you're going to use it to stream video or something, but you can at least check Twitter. And like, the worst thing ever is when you get on BART and you realize that you forgot to sync the Kindle place.
Yeah.
So like you were reading maybe in the morning and you have to figure out, you hit the button to sync. It's like, oh, checking, syncing. And then the train pulls out of the station. You're just like, oh, fuck. And then by the time it finally pulls it down, three stations later, it's time to get off the train and come to work.
Hey, random callback to our earlier conversation about Instagram. 150 million photos on Instagram. Flickr just announced right now they have had their 6 billionth photo uploaded.
My goodness, that's a lot of photographs.
60 times as many photos.
Almost one photograph for every person on Earth.
40 times as much.
60 billion would be 10 photographs.
No, did you say 6 or 60?
6. 6 billion.
Oh,
6. 6 billionth photo.
It's one photograph for every 6 out of 7 people.
Yeah, because we're going to hit 7 billion very soon.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
But anyway, so I would go to Starbucks.
Okay.
And I would say, give me a large coffee, because they refuse to say venti or grande or any of that nonsense. Yes.
Okay.
We're talking about Zojirushi.
Oh, right. I couldn't remember.
And they would give me the hot coffee, and then I would do that horrible thing. You know how that? I don't know if you've ever seen these statistics, but when they talk about food and beverage-related car accidents,
mm-hmm.
like what is the
thing?
So
you put it in your groin.
It's like hot coffee is the one that causes the most. Because what you do is, you know, you're drinking coffee in your car.
You squeeze it.
You squeeze it. Hot coffee splashes. You go, next thing you know, you've gone into the
bridge.
You've gone over a bridge. And so they would give me the coffee. I put the sleeve. Even with the sleeve, you know, the coffee is still kind of burning through the sleeve.
Well,
it's
like truck stop coffee especially is hot.
And I'm very worried that sleeve's going to pop off or whatever, and something horrible is going to happen. Of course, with the Zojirushi, that's magical because
it's
nice and firm.
There's a safety lock.
And it keeps it nice and cool. You know, it's cool to the touch, even though the coffee is super hot inside. I love that. I love the lock. The problem is, again, and also, by the way, they give you 10 cents off if you give them your own flask to fill. It's wonderful.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? That's interesting.
10 cents off.
Save a dime.
Save the planet.
You could call a friend in 1960.
You can save the Earth.
Yes.
One
dime at a time.
But again, the problem is when Starbucks serve coffee, it's going to be scalding hot.
Yes, you just leave the lid off.
That's the trick. I'm going to have to leave the lid off a bit because otherwise it's undrinkable for a long time.
But then you have a new hazard because you're driving down the road trying to screw the lid on when you're ready to finally drink it.
But I love the Zojirushi. Do other flasks do this? I mean, is this better than a thermos in terms of
the super long term?
Yeah.
So we did some tests, unsurprisingly.
Wonderful.
The Zojirushi and the Nissan, which owns Thermos now. So Thermos brand thermoses are actually Nissan produced thermoses.
Well, as in Nissan, the car company?
Same Japanese multinational.
I love how diversified these Japanese companies are.
Oh, yeah. It's like Standard Oil. Yeah. They also own McDonald's.
It's like Mitsubishi. They make everything. They make tractors. Yeah, they make, you know, DVD players.
Right. Sony makes fake watches and – no, wait. No, that's not right. That's Somi. Yeah, the Zojirushi, the high-end thermoses all do it. The difference that the Zojirushi has is their lids are better. So right. The push-button flip-top lid Zojirushi stainless thermal mug is a main product differentiator.
Of course, what it's missing is the classic Thermos feature of the lid, which also then turns
they
into a
cup. They sell one that has a lid that turns into a cup, too. I prefer the drinking straight from the mug.
Now, somebody told me this is probably not going to be as big a deal for me because it's really just for coffee.
Yes.
Somebody told me it's not as good at keeping cold beverages cold as it is at keeping hot beverages hot.
I did not test cold beverages cold because thermodynamics works the same in both directions. I have put cold beverages.
So you're saying that's bunk.
Well, no. The reason it doesn't work as well is that the delta between a cold beverage and drinking temperature and a cold beverage and too warm and a hot beverage and too cold is much smaller.
Yeah.
So when
a cold is just slightly less cold, you know the difference.
If it comes up 30 degrees, you can tell a difference. If a hot beverage goes from 200 to 170, you're never going to know. Yeah.
Right, but so like for example, with iced coffee,
yes,
you want that to remain frosty all the way. Like as soon as the ice starts to melt, it starts to get a little bit kind of lukewarm.
That's the soon thing.
You don't want the iced coffee anymore.
But the thing is, with cold beverages, it doesn't matter because you don't have to sip them. The 180 degree cup of coffee, you have to sip. It takes a long time to drink.
Right, an iced coffee, you can glug it down.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got to do that quickly again because there's that problem. As soon as the ice starts to melt, the coffee becomes lame.
Well, or you use coffee ice.
I was intrigued by these coffee testicles, these coffee stones.
Yeah, the Julies,
but they're very expensive.
Well, they're coffee stones.
They're like these special stones. They look like you know, little smooth pebbles.
Yeah,
you drop them into your coffee, and it keeps coffee cold.
It keeps it warm.
Hot.
Yeah,
whatever.
But
it's like $50 for like a bunch of
you have
stones.
To preheat them too.
Yeah,
you don't swallow them accidentally, or
I would hope not.
It's like those little granite rocks that you see.
Whiskey
in the
stones.
I don't know if I want to put technology like rocks in my coffee.
I'm going to tell you a secret. It would be very hard to drink a solid thing like that accidentally, unless you're chug-a-lugging your coffee.
Do kids still bring thermoses to school? I mean, back when I was a kid. Everyone had, you know, a lunch box.
Yeah, a lunch matching box with the thermos.
Yeah, I wasn't Transformers because I can't remember what I had on my lunchbox that I was into. It might have been like Roadrunner or something.
It might have been
Scooby Doo. But you would buy the lunch box and the flask match and they came as a set, right?
When we went to Disney World, I wanted to get one of those that had Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or something on it when I was like 4 years old.
Yeah.
And instead, I got the one with the Magic Kingdom on it. It was a bad choice.
They had to ban the kind of flask I had when I was a kid because the interior of it, the thermos part, was like a glass jar. And if you dropped it, the glass would shatter.
Totally, yeah.
And next thing you know, you're drinking broken glass.
Yeah,
not good for kids.
So the question is, do kids still bring thermoses?
I don't know.
Why went in that thermos? Because kids don't really drink hot beverages.
When I did the thermos test, I did a for kids Hello Kitty Funtainer, which is what you recall as the in-pale lunchbox thermos.
Right.
Has a big open lid, doubles as a bowl. Did not insulate against heat very well. It was the coldest insulated container that we tested. And it was nowhere near as fun as I would anticipate something called the Funtainer actually being.
God, I wish I could remember
SpaghettiOs.
I wish I could remember what the
Campbell's
decal
soup.
Was on my lunchbox.
Some of those are really expensive now. Like, people collect those.
Well, like retro ones?
Yeah. Have you ever watched that show, American Pickers?
No.
About the guys that drive around and they go into people's barns?
Is it Scam? Okay.
No.
It's not the one where they scam the old people and like, oh, this thing's worth nothing. And then they buy it from old people and it's really like it's some antique.
No, that's Antiques Roadshow.
No, that's not Antiques Roadshow. There is a show
they scam
where
old
these two
people?
Guys, yeah, they bring the camera crew in and they think like they like high five.
Is it kind of a guy that looks like Bob Vila and a tall skinny guy?
I don't remember, but they trick the old people into selling them the antiques and the old people think, oh, they're getting a great deal. And then they're like, and then the Antique Roadshow, but don't tell the old people. And it's like,
well, that's
this
the way
they so
go.
Much.
That's not a scam though. They're going
bad for the old
saying,
people.
Hey, we'll pay you something for some trash that you don't want anymore.
But then it's really worth a lot.
It's usually not worth that much though.
Sometimes it's worth a lot.
Okay.
More than old people think.
I'm gonna have to go home now and find some kind of gallery of like of popular like 1970s and 1980s lunch boxes from the
UK.
There's
hundreds and hundreds of them.
So that I can so I can figure out which one I had.
Time Bandits or...
I loved Time Bandits when I was a kid, but that wasn't the lunchbox.
Or Doctor Who or EastEnders or something like that.
It was something... God, I want to say like Captain Caveman or something like that.
That makes sense.
It was from that...
It's the same show.
It was kind of like a Hanna-Barbera kind of
vibe. Those guys aren't scammers.
They're totally scammers.
No, dude.
They scour the country's junkyards for hidden gems.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, they're
it's like being a treasure hunter.
The thing is, it's not like they come in and say, "Hey, we're going to go sell this for somebody." People know that they're saying, "Hey, we're going to give you $500 for something you paid $30 for 20 years ago,"
and then it's worth considerably more.
But most of the time, they have to fix it up, or they have to clean it, or they have to take it to the Most of the time, the value that they add is in knowing who is willing to pay the highest price for that thing.
Look, let's say, for example, Norm, that you were one of these guys and you were doing like a house clearance, because that's what they do oftentimes, right? They just come in and clean out houses. And there was some, old lady there that said, "Oh, here's $100. Just take everything away. I just want it all gone." And there was some kind of candlestick or a jar or an urn or something there. For whatever reason, you knew that it was priceless. What would you do? Would you go, "Well, I've made out here," or would you say to the old lady, "Oh, this is priceless, right? You shouldn't let me take this."
Right. If some lady has her kid's comic book collection on auction,
let's say for example you found like an Action Comics number one or whatever. It's this is my son
at a flea market.
Yeah,
I would negotiate some type of deal.
So you're doing what they do.
But I would say them know
again. Let's say that you're what do they call? We call them car boot sales. What do you call them where people? Like just
estate
bring
sales? Flea
market, or people just bring a bunch of junk and sell their junk out the back of their car or whatever. Garage sale.
Okay.
So let's say you're
what is it you call it?
We call them car boot sales because you sell everything.
The boot is the trunk.
The trunk.
Just like a saloon is a 4-door car.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought a saloon was someplace you go and get beer and sarsaparilla.
Well, in America, it is.
Fuck yeah.
I thought you watched Top Gear. They call it saloons all the time.
I had no idea what they were talking about. I thought it was just some other word I didn't understand.
So let's say that you're walking down the street and a guy is having a garage sale.
Yes.
And he's got a box of comic books. Mm-hmm. Oh, comic books. You go through it. And there is fucking Superman, which is the
Detective Comics one.
Detective Comics, which is the one that's worth the most. Is it the Batman or
Action
Superman?
Comics. It's actually Comics one with the tractor.
It's either Superman lifting a car or it's Batman flying across the rooftops.
It's Superman.
Right, so it's that one, and it's got a sticker on it on the Mylar bag.
$10.
It says 50 cents.
Okay.
Do you give the guy 50 cents and walk away going, "Oh my god, this is the best thing ever"?
Go straight to a safe deposit.
Or do you say to the guy, "This is actually worth a fortune"? What do you do?
I'd buy it first and then tell him, and then work out a because
he would
a good story
fucking
there.
Kill you.
Right, wow. So you would actually do the most douchey thing
yeah.
possible.
No, but then
was a final, right? No. He's a 10 cents. Aha! It's actually fortune, sucker. And then you run away.
No, then we do a split.
No, you don't.
You don't know. There's no way.
You have brought value to the deal because you've identified its value.
Yes.
Right. So you're saying you're going to buy it for $10, and then you're going to say to him, "Okay,
do you realize?
By the way, this legally, is worth a fortune, but now I'm going to split half of it with you."
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Legally, this is mine. It's worth a fortune.
Well, what would you
and
do?
And then the baseball bat whacks him on the head. I'd say I'll give you $50 for the whole box and walk.
That's suspicious.
So you're being even more sinister. You're just trying to hide your interest in that one comic.
Here's the thing: is I know I wouldn't be able to control my excitement about the whole thing, so I'd have to disguise it in a value buy.
Right. But it's not. I don't think there's anything douchey about this. It's not your It's not your duty to tell him what that's worth. That is your lucky day, and it's his unlucky.
Well, it's like the Rocky Mountain.
It's funny
comics
the
guy.
Story that you tell. Yeah, it is. Mile High Comics. It actually happened in Colorado.
Okay, what happened?
25 years ago. It was 1977, so I guess like 30-something years ago now.
28 years ago.
Yeah. This comic collector, this guy who worked at a comic book store, he received a phone call from this estate, like, "Oh, my grandpa died" or something. And
we have all these comics.
Yeah, he had a collection of comics.
Right.
You work at the local comic book store. I was wondering if you could, come look at them. And he walked in, and it was like this museum. It was like in a basement.
Well, no, you got to tell the story right. Because
the devil's in the details here. The difference is if the guy's just asking for you to come and take him away or to come in and value them.
No, he said take him away.
Okay.
And the guy recognized that these were invaluable.
Right.
It was
right. It's fucking Tutankhamun's tomb of comics.
And basically, he couldn't control himself. And he said, "These are worth something." And the family didn't want it. He's like, they had a death in the
we
family.
We just want rid of it.
We want to get rid of it. You don't take them away. We're going to throw them away. They're going to put them on the sidewalk next day.
No, it's like, if you're going to be honest, he's like, "Yeah, I'll take them away. But one way you get $1 million. The other way you don't." I mean, seriously.
Well, but so the thing about this story is the family was so pissed off because they hated the comic books because it had destroyed this guy's life that they just wanted them out of their lives.
Right. Right.
And could care fuck all about money. The other thing that's different about the Pickers guys is that they're valuing what they think they're going to get, and they have to figure out – they're taking a fair amount of risk, because if they valued incorrectly and they give some guy $300 for something that they're never going to be able to sell for $500, then they're out time and money.
Wait, so, like wait, so I'm talking about in the Denver story, the guy told these people the comps were worth a fortune.
I can't remember how
they – No, he didn't know they were worth a fortune, but they just weren't interested.
Right. They just wanted rid of them, and they wanted them out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
They built a whole –
And it was back then, you know, when comics – it was still very underground.
It was the 80s, late 70s.
Late 70s. So still very underground, and there was no idea of this valuation of comics.
Right.
He literally went and sold a handful of the comics and funded opening his own shop and so he could sell the rest of them.
Let me ask you a slightly different version of the question. Let's say that someone that you knew, like kind of a vague friend, not like a mega friend or anything, said, I've got a bunch of comics over here. I kind of want to sell them, but maybe you probably know more about comics than me. Would you come over and look at them and see if there's anything here that's interesting? And you found Detective Comics number one. Now, I presume you're going to say to him, this one's worth a fortune.
Yeah, I
would. Would you then expect, and he sells that comic for like, I don't know what Detective Comics number one's worth these days.
I know, you get 10%.
It's in the millions, right?
I would
expect a finder's fee.
Yeah, you'd expect some kind of finder's fee.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely. I would as well. I think if I sold a comic for, if you did that and identified a comic that was worth, say, $1 million, I'd give you 50 grand.
That's totally
reasonable.
Because I'm not even going to notice it's not
in my possession.
But I'd expect you to not eat for a week.
Okay,
I'm in. I gotta get something out.
Can you drink water?
Yeah, you can drink.
You can drink water, just no food.
But no milk or anything. You have the story too.
It's like your fake tree. No, like the fake scratcher story.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Will Scratcher story from his family?
So, at Christmas, my parents got fake – like every year for the last 20 years since the lottery came to Tennessee or Virginia or whatever, we got scratchers in our Christmas stockings. So like
what – that's a weird – I found that out. That's a weird American tradition.
Yeah. People buy scratchers.
We did that. I went back to
– Do people not
Leah's,
do that?
We went I, back I'd east and spent Christmas with Leah's family a year or two ago. She said, oh, we've got to go buy a bunch of lottery scratchers. People put them in their Christmas stockings. Like, that's fucked up, but that's what people do.
Well, but so the deal in our family is always that if somebody wins a shit – like if you win $5, it's yours. If you win a shitload of money, then we all split it because it's Christmas, right? Agreed upon when I was like 10, 12 years old. Right. So my parents encouraged gambling at a young age, I guess.
Yeah.
So we're sitting at home. It's right after my sister gets married. So the new brother-in-law is there. Barry, I love him. But so the fake scratchers come out, and he's the first one who does it. And he just says nothing and puts it in his pocket.
Because he knows it's a big winner?
Because it's like 50 grand. He's like, oh.
And he knows that if he says something, he's going to have to split it.
Right. He knows he's going to have to split ski. So then everybody else comes out, and it immediately is apparent that Barry put his in his pocket and didn't say anything about it, and he's got shit for it ever since, and rightly so.
So he got caught.
Oh yeah, because everybody else had fake scratchers too. Well, like okay.
Oh, so they were all fakes that were meant to look like they were big
winners.
They're
all fake. They're made to look like they're big winners.
I didn't even know you could buy fake scratchers.
Yeah. So
that's a mean trick to play. I don't like that.
I think my mom thought it would be really funny, and then she realized as people were hiding them how horrible it was.
Yeah, because what happens if you call your boss and tell him to go fuck himself?
Well, the fake scratchers are like $5,000, $10,000. They're not like $2 million scratchers.
I mean, that's mean.
No, it's still like
Park Place and Boardwalk. What?
It's still a significant amount of money, but it is not like a fuck. And also my brother-in-law and sister both work for my parents. So if they called the boss to tell him to fuck off, they really would have just had to look across the room and be like, hey, we're fucking quitting.
Right. So
they would have had to tell him anyway.
But you now know that guy can't be trusted.
No, we don't know how to trust Barry.
Right.
Yeah. Eggbot, we've been testing CNC week is on.
Yes. This is CNC week.
Yeah.
So
we tested, this is all kind of a while ago now, but we can talk about it.
Yeah, sure. Computer numerical control.
Yeah, that's what CNC stands for.
We've had the MakerBot for a year.
The Cupcake CNC, the first
Cupcake
one.
And the new Thingamatic, which I think they released last year.
MakerBot Industries guys like what we do with the apps of the week or with the print of the week video, mystery object. And so they sent us a Thingamatic to build and upgrade our printable.
And we have upgraded. So we have a new MakerBot now.
Yeah, so we have a new Thingamatic. I've been printing for the last like 2 or 3 days nonstop.
It is amazing.
Awesome.
It's really, really cool. There's the automated build platform. You don't even need to plug a laptop in.
Well, it's higher resolution. The motor on the extruder that controls how much plastic comes out is much, much better. So you get finer detail and less mess and all that kind of stuff. And we have a new electronics thing that lets us control it without having to have a laptop hooked up to it, which is really, really rad. So we built a thingamatic. We built, Norm, you built an eggbot.
It's eggbot, $200 CNC machine that writes on spherical objects and eggs.
So we did a quick look of that, but there's another video that'll be in tested colon the show that actually shows more about how the eggbot works and all that kind of stuff. Why you might be interested in it. Do you like printing stuff on eggs?
It's awesome.
Have you eaten any of those eggs?
No, they're all raw eggs.
Oh. You should cook some eggs and see if they taste better when they have shit written on them.
Well, that's a future segment that we don't know if we want to talk about right now.
I don't think we should talk about
it. We shouldn't talk about it either. No.
I do want to make an egg that has like the line where you cut to do the soft boil on the top.
Oh, so like
– you have instructions.
Draw a face on an egg and then have like the Frankenstein like dotted line around.
The line is nice, but what would be great if they could genetically modify the egg so that top comes off really? Perfectly clean.
I've got a secret. I've got a trick.
Oh, do you?
Do you have an apple corer?
No.
You should get an apple corer.
Yeah.
And if you want to make the perfect holes in the top of the egg,
yeah.
Get an apple corer, put the eggs in a bed of salt so that they're supported evenly.
Okay.
Put the apple corer on the top and just tap it with a knife handle. And it pops right through the egg and it cores out a perfectly circle.
Because I love a good soft-boiled egg. I feel like they're not very popular in America.
No, I think that's a British thing, right?
Yeah, I mean every home in England has a set of egg cups.
I have egg cups,
but what you do is you cut the toast into little strips that we call soldiers,
quarters,
and you dip the egg, the toasty buttery toasted strips into your egg and get the yolk on it.
You put a little salt and pepper on the top of the exposed yolk.
I went looking for egg cups and discovered it's not William an easy Sonoma. Thing to find out.
We printed some egg cups with the MakerBot. If you want some Bunnyfoot egg cups, we can make those for you.
I love a good egg. Yeah. It's so versatile.
It's the amazing, incredible
egg. Amazing things with eggs.
This broadcast is brought to you by the Egg Council.
Eggs are great.
Other thing we did was we went to Tech Shop. That video, so the Eggbot video, the first one, and the Tech Shop video, both are up. There's more content about those coming in. Tested the show.
Yep. And also, you should if you want to give us a design to print, we have instructions for how to do that now.
Yeah, Matt Braga wrote a whole how-to explaining how to take SketchUp, Google SketchUp, and make models that we can print on the MakerBot. We did that today. Did some of those test prints and a whole bunch of other stuff as well. So CNC Week is on in full force. The Tech Shop thing we got to talk about for a minute because I don't think we've talked about that on the podcast yet. But basically, I think you said it was like Robert Downey's Iron Man's basement. It's like Tony Stark's basement.
Yep.
I'd love to have a basement like that. Oh, so awesome.
It wasn't full of expensive cars. But they did have like.
No, I mean, I'm just even just the mechanic part.
Yeah.
Cool. That's basically what it was.
So that's the thing is they have all like the mills and the lathes and the CNC controlled lathes and the laser cutters and sewing machines, I guess, too. All sorts of crazy stuff. Basically, if you want to build something, you can do it there. We did a whole video. Talked to those guys. They're fantastic. Super friendly, very informative, and will help you learn how to build machines. All sorts of different kinds of stuff with their machines. So if you don't have Tony Stark kind of money, you can still have access to that kind of equipment.
Imagine if you did have Tony Stark money, though.
People will starve themselves weeks at a time for the rest of your life.
You just go to third world countries and be like, hey, I'll give you 50 grand if you don't eat this week. And they're like, fuck yeah.
Not going to be anyway. Right. Might as well get the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Last thing, Lion review. It's done. It took forever. I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize. I was way behind.
A lot of people probably already made the decision.
Well, I mean, that's
right
the thing is it's $30, so kind of who cares. But that kind of review is really just there to validate people's opinions of the product. And I'm going to go ahead and say I think it is the least polished release of OS X that I've tested so far.
What's the biggest problem with it?
The window management problem. In fairness, it's mostly third-party apps, but there is some app that I have installed on my machine that makes Windows pop from the foreground to the background and back again all the time. It is very frustrating. The pinning windows to all the spaces at once is really buggy. There's some weird pop-in, pop-out stuff that happens, and the flash stuff is also.
Surprised there hasn't been a very quick
point release
patch or anything. Yeah, I'm sure it's coming.
I would hope so. This is, like I said, Leopard, I remember, had some problems. Tiger had some problems. This is by far the worst release of OS X I've used.
What's one thing that you do like?
Absolutely love Mission Control.
Mission Control is great.
I think the combination of Spaces and Exposé, I wish that you still had a all Windows Exposé available. Mm-hmm. But being able to like Mission Control makes using an 11-inch laptop a real reality.
God. See, I know you guys use Magic Mice. You're using a Magic Mouse right now.
In this room, yeah. Right. But
I use Logic Mouse. I love Logic Mouse for desktop, not necessarily for gaming, because as the scroll wheel has the left and right tilt,
yeah.
And I really want a way to do move between spaces with left and right tilt. I know with the magic mouse, I use four finger gesture.
If you open up the left tilt and right tilt to control an arrow,
I know
doesn't work.
Doesn't work because Logitech Control Center doesn't work. Doesn't recognize gaming mice in OS 10.
So you have to plug it into a Windows machine, and then it sticks with the mouse in the profile.
I don't know if certain Logitech mice, the G500 can't do that.
Really?
Can't do that.
It doesn't store it?
Nope. No. But I want to use a Logitech mouse. I don't want to switch to a Magic Mouse because I like thumb buttons. I use my thumb button for mission control / expose.
Okay. Gary, you liking OS 10, Lion?
Yeah. Again, I probably haven't delved into it anything like as much as you have because, again, I'm a very light computer user. I don't ask my computer to do very much.
You're just typing and
so a lot of the power user features of Lion are probably never going to be... Honestly, I didn't need to upgrade to Lion. I just do because I can, and I like having the new shiny things. And there are some features about it that I do like. I love versions.
See, versions is one of the things I don't like, actually.
Okay, because it doesn't work for your workflow. It does work for mine.
Well, it's not even the workflow thing. It's just like if they had added versions as an also and not removed core features like save as, mm-hmm. I'd be okay with it.
I like the new mail. The new mail layout is better for me.
New mail's fine. Some people don't.
Leah hated it. She reverted to the you can revert to the classic style.
Oh, okay.
And she did.
That's good to know. If you're a Gmail user, you should check out Sparrow. It's $10, but it's totally worth it.
Why would I pay money for mail when I'm perfectly happy with the mail I have for free?
Because it works with spam filters and labels.
I don't care.
Yeah, it's fine.
So you use mail or do you use Sparrow?
I use Sparrow.
For Gmail and
For both work Gmail and personal Gmail.
I looked at it. And a bunch of people recommend it. I looked at the website. I still like
web interface.
Unified inbox. And attachments saved into a folder.
Yeah, I'm mostly on Gmail these days, but I still have a couple of other accounts that mail trickles in from, and it's nice to have one inbox.
The reason I use Sparrow, honestly, is that the webmail for Google Apps for your domain is so fucking slow these days that it is almost unusable. So that's why I use Sparrow. And I guess the last thing is it's August 4th, which means it's time, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't heard anything from the Amazing Race people yet. It's time for the Twitter bomb.
The grassroots movement starts today.
How long ago did you send it in?
15 days ago.
And is that the window by which you should have heard something?
No, the cutoff is August 15th for when we'll hear something.
If we do not hear anything by August 15th,
we're out.
The dream is over.
Yeah.
So what is it about today?
This is halfway through.
We decided. We made an arbitrary decision halfway through August 1st, which I guess it's August 4th now, but we're recording a podcast.
Close enough.
So is when we're going to unleash...
So what we would like you to do...
But the fact that you haven't heard anything by now is neither good nor bad, right? I mean, you can't really read too much
into completely arbitrary decision.
Okay.
We wanted the grassroots movement anyway.
Right. We just wanted to
nudge the needle.
Now, again, is there a chance that this could be counterproductive?
It could be. Basically, our feeling after having discussed it an unhealthy amount is that anything we can do to make ourselves be noticed outside of the 20,000 other people that applied is probably a good thing.
Well, you know what it does? It shows initiative.
Right.
And
we care.
I imagine that's something that they like.
Because we have the show coming out.
Right.
And that's more.
It shows that you're willing to do what it takes.
No, Norm, we will do whatever it takes. If I have to run naked,
Will will tell me to do whatever it takes.
I will make Norm do that.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Norm loves to win. We'll give you a black bar that you can hold in front of the naughty bits.
If you really want to make an impression.
Yeah. Streaking. It worked for that
show up at the CBS offices.
Yeah.
Across the street.
Then they'll really know you're serious.
As you get ready to put that adapter in your mouth, I just want to remind you that it sits on this desk in this room. And that's where Kessler sits.
And the giant bomb people are.
Giant bomb people handle that. Screen people.
I'm sure it's been in pants.
Right. Yeah, Kessler, it's think about what shape that is.
Yeah, I haven't had my immunizations in a while. I should probably.
So that's it for what we've been testing. Unless you have anything else, Gary or Norm.
Oh, I wanted to tell you my interesting data recovery story.
Okay.
So as I said, Leah moved from this one MacBook.
Yeah.
Her MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
And she had to make some choices.
320 gigs.
To 128. Yes. So that's the one downgrade, right? You got to make some sacrifices. And so she was going through all of her pictures. She's got tons and tons of photographs. I mean, literally like tens of thousands of photographs that she's had for years. She keeps them all in her iPhoto. And she screwed up something about her previous migration from her previous MacBook onto the one that she had before. whereby she somehow ended up with like duplicate accounts, and there was a it seemed that there was a lot of redundancy.
Oh, I have that same problem. I have two iPhoto libraries, both are 20 gigs. I can't figure out which one I should use.
Right, exactly. And so she deleted, and we tried to be very careful about this. She deleted the redundant account, the inactive account, because you could see all the pictures that she wanted
her
to
library,
keep.
Library, you mean?
Yeah, her whole library.
Yeah.
was in the active account. And okay. so you think you delete the redundant one, then will go away.
Okay, so she had two user accounts.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes, but what appears to have happened is that the iPhoto library actually was showing pictures from both. Something went wrong. Basically, to cut a long story short, she lost a lot of pictures.
Okay.
And she deleted them in such a way that even when we called Apple, they went, yeah, you're not going to get this back. Here are some numbers for professional data recovery services.
Shit.
And of course, we started calling around. These places cost
up. Does she not Time Machine stuff?
No.
Oh.
Well, she does now.
Okay.
Like it happened to me. Everybody
has to learn the lesson the hard way once.
Everyone who is serious about backup has had one catastrophic data loss. That's how they became serious about backup. You learn from that.
The hard, painful way.
So she now has an external hard drive that she backs up to. So these pictures were lost, and we looked into professional data recovery, and these places are very, very expensive.
It starts at what, like $1,500?
Oh, yeah. Crazy. But anyway, so Leah continued to do her research, and I'm happy to give this guy a plug. Give this guy a plug because he was tremendous. He's called $300 Data Recovery, and that's the website.
Okay,
$300datarecovery.com, and he's in LA.
Okay,
and as it turned out, I had a business trip to LA scheduled, so I took her MacBook down there, dropped it off with this guy, picked it up the next morning.
And did you stop using the laptop or anything?
Yeah, because the first thing they tell you is don't. Just shut it down. Yeah, don't use it.
Right. Because rewrites
because the information may not be deleted yet, but if you start using the hard drive, it may start overwriting those sectors.
And this is because of the way usually deletes are just removing the thing in the table of contents for the hard drive that points to the files,
right.
Not actually deleting the files themselves.
Anyway, so she shut the lid, didn't touch it. I took it down there, gave it to the guy, and picked it up the next morning, and he had recovered – about 40 gigs of lost pictures.
That's good.
I don't know how many, but it was basically everything that was there. There were some pictures that had some corruption where you could see that there had been some overwriting.
Grade bars or whatever.
But, I mean, tens of thousands of pictures he had recovered. And his deal was $300 if I recover your data. If I can't recover it, no fee.
Well, that's a good bet.
Yeah. So, you know, well worth the $300. He did a great job. And
so if you're not in LA, can you just send him a hard drive in the mail?
Yeah, you can send him a hard drive and he will ship it back to you.
Okay,
but it was convenient that I was there. I could drop it off.
Yeah, he
did a great job. And the only problem is what is often lost in these – this is something interesting I learned about data recovery is that the file names are lost.
Right, because they're in the TOC.
All the files are there, but they just have, you know, kind of bogus names. And so Leo now is in the process of having to very painstakingly go through all these files because it also recovers millions of little – icons and thumbnails and things that you don't need.
Right.
I mean, there's 100,000 images files on this terabyte hard drive that we
gave. So she can just go sort by file size though, and start at the top and work her way down.
So you can do that. But I mean, again, when you're dealing with that many files, it's going to take a long time. But we got the recovery, and it was nice to know that, you know, because I had looked into professional data recovery before when I had my massive loss.
Yeah.
And it was so expensive that I never even looked at it. But it's nice to know there are people out there that can do the job that these big guys, these forensic, you know, recovery labs
hard
do,
places.
And actually do them. For, I mean, $300 is not chump change, but it is compared to what other people charge.
So it sounds like this guy isn't like the kind of clean room data recovery where he takes apart the hard drive and puts the platters in a new chassis.
No, he does it all out of his apartment. I walked into his apartment in an apartment complex.
So
he's sitting there with all his computers and, you know, all his, you know, it's a very high tech setup, but it's not like,
but it sounds
like he just works out of his house.
It sounds like he's doing deleted files, not hard drive failure.
I think if you had what I had, where my hard, I had one of those old IBM Death Stars,
yeah, it crashed.
It started going like that.
Yeah.
Then you do need the super
FBI guys.
But if you accidentally just delete files, then this guy can get the job done. And so he was very good. $300datarecovery.com. I'm happy to plug the guy. He did a great job.
Sounds good. Let's take some questions. Our first question comes from Tim in Australia.
Hi, guys. My name's Tim, and I'm from Sydney, Australia. Before I ask my question, I've got some trivia for you about our supposedly famous Harbour Bridge. The Sydney Harbour Bridge was officially opened in 1932. Building it cost £10 million sterling, which took us 56 years to pay off. Completely painting the bridge requires about 6,600 gallons of paint for a full coat. Anyway, my question is in regards to marriage proposal. I'm currently contemplating how to go about proposing to my girlfriend. How do you guys think I should do it? Do any of you have any good proposal stories? Anyways, thanks, and always be testing.
Well, hopefully doesn't listen to the podcast.
Do you think he works in bridge painting? He knew a lot about that bridge.
Mm. I think he sounded like he had the patience, the voice of a patient man who would work in that.
You're saying he asked the question slowly?
Yes.
Okay.
I always love that statistic about how, you know, these really epic bridges, they're never not painting them.
No.
Oh, yeah, once you get to the end.
By the time you get to the end, it's time to start over.
The other side looks shitty.
Yeah.
So what's the best way to – what's the nerdiest way to ask someone to marry them?
Oh, I mean, people have done it in very nerdy ways, right? You see these things crop up on the internet all the time. Wasn't there the guy that like actually kind of modded like an 8-bit – like one of the old 8-bit Zelda games?
That sounds crazy.
And he was watching his girlfriend play it, and then like he shows up in the game and like, you know – presents her with like an 8-bit ring.
I have a quest. That's sweet.
I mean, yeah, there are people that have really kind of gone the extra mile to do the nerdy stuff.
You know, the thing I always say is to figure out what your girlfriend, soon to be fiance, hopefully is into, and give her a special day.
I mean, presumably
that's the easy thing to
do. If you want to go super nerdy, I mean, hopefully, you know,
he didn't say anything about nerdy. Just in fairness.
Oh, you said nerdy.
I'm helping.
Oh, but if your girlfriend's not nerdy, like maybe that's something she hates about you.
Yeah. Don't do that.
You're not going to want to double down on that.
If you're nerdy, do it
at
PAX. Then you got to people write stories about you.
Well, they did that, right? They had a whole Penny Arcade episode about that. The guy that proposed to his girlfriend.
Oh, so it's done at PAX. I'm sure it's done at Comic-Con.
Been done, yeah.
What's next?
The whole Jumbotron, like at the baseball game. It's all extensions of that same idea. It's not cool.
Well, another thing is, if you're not pretty sure she's going to say yes, that puts a lot of pressure on her.
Well, I mean, we've seen those videos as well, right? The guy that does the baseball game, and she turns him down
in front of
50,000 people.
The best one was the college humor
prank.
That was a fake?
I think they're all fakes. All the college humor stuff was fake.
That was unfortunate. That was really a funny video where the prank war goes on. And I don't know.
How did you propose? You're the only one here who's done it.
I just asked my wife to marry me. It was very simple. I didn't even get a ring because I knew she had very specific requirements for rings.
Was it planned? Or was it
an onion ring?
No, it was not an onion ring. Nor was it a ring pop.
Was it
or
a Funyun?
Anything like that. It was a Funyun would have been pretty rad. She does like Funyuns.
I love Funyuns.
Who doesn't love Funyuns?
That's something I do miss.
You don't like Funyuns?
Funyuns are fucking great.
I'll have a real onion ring over
Did you know you were going to do it?
Oh yeah. Okay. It was well planned.
You didn't make it a special moment?
Well, we had a nice dinner and all that.
Didn't do the naked man?
I didn't do the naked. I thought about that.
But were you nervous? Did you have a speech rehearsed?
I'm not much for speeches. I know that's hard to
believe. So you just said like...
I just said, hey, okay, here's ways not to ask someone to marry you.
Okay.
I think we'd make a great team. That's not good.
Is that what you said?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. That's the you're like a brother to me
right.
of marriage.
Right. Or I think it's time. You it's due. None of these things are good.
Oh.
So,
I hear a biological clock ticking.
Right.
So do you want to do this or what?
Right. I mean, it's time we shit or get off the pot.
Yeah.
Again, not a good solution.
Yeah.
You
could lay out all the various tax advantages.
Yeah, that is a good point.
So the green card's expiring soon, right?
As you can see here in graph four.
We could save 35. A PowerPoint presentation is not a good way to ask someone to marry you.
No.
But we could save $3,200 a year on combined taxes if we,
Yes, the amortization, as you can see.
Honestly, for us, it was one of those situations where we were in San Francisco. Gavin Newsom had just passed the San Francisco is going – we're going to start marrying gay couples in San Francisco thing. And literally we were watching a bunch of our friends get married. And I was like, we are complete – I mean we both kind of realized at the same time we're complete assholes. Why are we not getting married? We had this –
you feel like you
privilege.
You were taken for granted the privilege
that was
denied to others.
Yeah, we were taken for granted the privilege
that
was denied to others. And I mean, we went, you know, a lot of it was we had kind of talked about it and didn't think it was the right time or whatever. And I finally was just like, no, fuck this. We can afford to go someplace and get married or whatever and do the thing that we want to do.
All right. Good stuff.
But yeah, I mean, I think you have to figure out what's right for you. What's right for you and your significant other.
Mm.
And if you don't know what is going to make her excited about asking to get married, then probably.
Also, another tip, if you're looking for good tips, don't call into a tech podcast.
This is a good – yeah. Yeah. Contact some mommy bloggers. They've all been proposed to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are probably many other podcasts out there that are staffed by people that may have better advice for
you. I'm sure there's a whole section on The Knot. Is The Knot still around? Is The Knot still a thing? It was the KNOT.
Oh, I don't know.
The wedding site.
I don't know. But like when the best piece of advice we have is don't use a Funyun. There's probably better advice.
That is
out
good
there.
Advice, dude. That is like, you might be better off calling Stern though than asking.
Even
us.
If you wanted to do that, I would probably wind up eating the whole bag of Funyuns.
Like just oh, out
shit,
of nervousness.
I don't have any Funyuns left. Yeah, well, no, just out of.
I'll just ask her later.
Not even out of nervousness, just out of liking Funyuns.
I do like Funyuns.
Oh, they're so good. They got spicy kind now as well.
Well, I mean, you could do that. You know, our shared love of just bury a ring in the. What do you think about the ring buried in the food or beverage?
That's a bad idea. I mean, you always hear these stories about the person that.
Well, it depends on how the other person eats, right?
I think that's very cheesy.
But the least romantic thing to have to do is to fish the wedding ring out of the poop.
There's two ways to do it. One is you do it straight forward. You can eat, like you did, or you old fashioned traditional down on one knee, all the old fashioned stuff because chicks don't like tradition.
Do you feel like you have to ask the father?
No.
Yeah, I didn't do that either.
That's really old fashioned.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna do something different, then do something genuine. You've really got to. If you're going to,
the bar is really high.
If you're going to set that for yourself, then you've got to do like the 8-bit Zelda thing or something completely awesome. That like the kind of thing that people are going to put on YouTube and go, "This is amazing what this guy did." Like not just something that 50.
Yeah, like just waiting until you're halfway through. It's a small world, and then blasting the question isn't a good way to go.
Right,
because you'd probably drop the ring in the water, and you don't want to have to put your arm down there.
Right. Okay. Start organizing a flash mob or something might seem very keen, but like,
don't do it in the Apple Store. It's not a good place.
Why not?
You don't want to do it someplace that's tied to commerce.
Yeah. Really any kind of store.
Yeah. Like, would you, if you look at the Apple Store as a fancier version of Kmart, would you ask somebody to marry you in Kmart? No.
I mean, I'm sure some people would.
That's probably true. Not for me. Should we ask another question that's not about getting married?
Let's see if we can find something that's more up our alley.
Tim really wanted to ask this question. He sent it in twice. So okay. I figured we should, yeah.
Hey, my name's Dustin. It seems like Google has done the impossible and put Linux on the desktop. And by that I mean phones and tablets, which many people are using as replacement to the desktop. With this in mind, what would stop somebody from building upon Google's work with Linux and porting it to the actual desktop PC? There would still be problems with supporting newer hardware considering the open PC architecture, but the main problem of software availability and compatibility seems to have been solved with Android. No longer will you have to compile software or have issues resolving dependencies. Errors regarding shared libraries will not exist. It seems like there is a stable binary interface with Android. This means that you would no longer have to rely on the limited software repositories that the current Linux distributions use. Anyway, I just wanted to know your opinion, and that's about it. Thanks.
All right, look, we overshot the mark here. We went from a question that had nothing to do with technology to a question that, for me at least, is way too technical. Like, I'm hoping the next question, the porridge, will be just right.
Okay.
Because that was fucking repositories? What?
Here's the thing about Android on the desktop. Even though Android uses some Java stuff I don't understand the technical side of this. Do you, Norm?
No, not really.
Yeah, so there are things that happen in Android that let code run across platforms, but I think they still all have to be compiled with basic ARM instructions. Maybe somebody from the audience can write in and answer this for us so we don't look like yo-yos. I think that Linux on the desktop is Chrome OS. I think that porting from ARM to x86 is a little more involved than we might think it would be sitting here on the sidelines as somebody who's never ported anything. And that's what we should probably say about that.
I will, Norm. Maybe Gary, maybe Anna, maybe someone else. I'm Andrew from Waterloo, Ontario. First, some hometown trivia. Waterloo's home of Research in Motion, the maker of the BlackBerry, and our region's home to the largest Oktoberfest outside of Germany. My question is about PC gaming headsets. Up till now, I've been testing the Razer Cercarius, I think that's how it's pronounced, which has good sound quality, but the microphone broke a couple of weeks ago, and the warranty's been up for a while. And I was wondering if you had a recommendation for a replacement. I've been looking at the Razer Megalodon and the Logitech G35 and was curious if any of you had any experience with these or others which you could recommend. Thanks. Always be testing.
So the first thing I'd say is contact Razer and see. I mean, they may actually honor the warranty on that. They're pretty good about that stuff, is my understanding usually.
I'm using the Megalodons. The only thing I don't like about it is
the Megalodon with the one with the USB built in.
The USB built in. The control panel is the the control panel is kind of heavy, and I had to put that on top of my desktop.
Yeah.
And it kind of like has nice like the woven cord.
Right.
But the little control panel where you can set it to 5.1 or 2.0 and adjust the volume, that falls off. I mean, it either put it on your desk, but then if it falls off your desk, it drags the headphone down.
Right.
So it's a little cumbersome.
So the thing I don't like about the Megalodon is that if you have it in the 7.1 mode, it sounds really shitty.
Only when sources are 2.0.
Right.
If it's really a 7.1 source, sounds fine.
Okay.
You don't really notice that there's surround. But if you have it in 7.0 and it's a 2.0 audio source, like watching a movie,
right,
then it's going to feel sound distorted.
I found that's often true, though. When you take like a simple stereo audio source and you plug it into one of these devices that, that claims to be able to create like a surround sound environment, it often sounds much, much worse.
Yeah, that's always the case. The smart stuff, the smart amps are able to tell whether it's a 2.0 signal or a 7.1 signal or 5.1 signal coming in, and they'll adjust. The Megalodon does not do that.
I just like the word Megalodon.
It's a cool word.
It almost sounds like a big dildo or something.
Isn't it?
Because I'm kind of hearing it as
Megalodon. What the fuck did you do during your time off, man?
I'm kind of hearing it as Megalodon.
Okay. Isn't a Megalodon like a mammoth?
I thought it was it's like a dinosaur.
Yeah, but I mean, but for some reason, it just seems like it you could go to a sex shop and buy a Megalodon.
I'm sure you can.
And like, what would that be?
Well,
probably some large vibrating strap-on type thing.
Right, it's like a novelty bachelorette party dildo.
You should test some of those.
My movie 7.
We're not crossing that line. The Megalodon headset itself is actually just the same as the Cartesis.
But it's USB.
But with the USB instead of analog. The G35s are good. I've used them. I didn't find them particularly comfortable, but they sounded fine. So, that is that question. We got one more question here. Let's see if we can get just right.
Hi, Will, Anna, Norm, Gary, Brad, Lloyd, or whoever else may be on the show this week.
Or Matt.
This is Michael from Preston in the UK. Hometown trivia from Preston. Well, there are pretty much only three famous people from here. Andrew Flintoff, a cricketer. Gary may know who he is. Nick Park, the creator of Wallace and Gromit. And Kenny Baker, the actor who played R2-D2 in Star Wars.
Nice.
My question is about podcasts. I am an avid podcast listener, but really hate fiddling with podcasts in iTunes. I was wondering what is the best software for downloading podcasts on Mac, and are there any decent apps for downloading or streaming podcasts on the iPhone or iPad? Thanks, and always be testing.
So I don't.
Preston, also, by the way, the home of Preston North End Football Club.
Okay. Sorry. Are you going to talk about hexagons more?
No.
Okay, cool. So I don't actually use podcast software on my Mac anymore. I always used iTunes. It's always a pain in the ass because you have to keep deleting stuff. And I mean, it manages some of that by itself. For iOS, we've long recommended Instacast. It's a really good piece of software. It doesn't work on iOS 5 yet, though, or at least didn't the last time I checked for an update. In its place, I've been using Podcaster. And the benefit here is that the stuff's just on your phone. You never have to actually download. You know, you don't have to manage anything. It just kind of is always there, or it streams if you have unlimited data. And both of those apps will let you set it to download podcasts only when you're on Wi-Fi if you don't have a good data plan. So,
or you can download over 3G, which or iTunes doesn't let you do.
Well, you can stream over 3G from iTunes. You can't download over 3G from iTunes. I find that 3G, most podcasts are low enough bitrate that they work great over 3G, no problems.
Well, I travel in a tunnel sometimes.
That's true. Yeah, they don't work on the subway until you have Wi-Fi, in which case they will work. I know that there are some podcatcher apps. I feel like once iTunes supported those on the Mac, most of those kind of stopped being good. So that's questions this week. As always, if you have a question, podcast@tested.com. Keep the questions short, under a minute. Shorter is better than longer. Use a real microphone, level 8. No what?
WMA.
No WMA. And that's it. We'll be back, as always. Thanks for listening. This is only a test. We will always be back on Thursday. For Norman Chan and Will Smith, I'm Will Smith. For Norman Chan and Gary Witt, I'm Will Smith. Thanks for listening. And be sure to check out CNC Week on tested.com right now. Tested, the show is live as of Friday morning, August 5th. And stay tuned for the fake outtakes.
Hi there, I didn't see you.
Tested.
Silver Chan, do you have a pulse?
98 beats a minute.
That's way too high.
Tested.
That was a terrible outro on my part. I apologize to all the listeners.
Yeah, it felt like you were trying to change it up a little bit there, and you went off your usual routine.
I think I thank myself for coming into the show.
We will always be here on Thursdays.
Thursdays are the day that the podcast is on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got nothing. I was confused. I froze, actually, is what happened. I'm off. It's unusual to have both of you here. I missed you. Well, I mean, you do 70 shows one way, and then 2 weeks change, and
I know. But
Lloyd sat in Norm's seat last week. It was really confusing. It
threw you off.
Yeah, I know.
I'm probably going to be gone again next week.
That's why I heard.
Throw you off even more.
I know. Well, you know, the interesting thing I found out is that when the Bombcast guys are in here, Ryan and Jeff sit facing each other, and Brad and Vinny sit facing each other. So having Norm off to the left, period, is off of the whiskey media standard.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, what's the significance of how the giant bomb guys sit?
Well, I think that they do that so that they can riff. But you and I are in the riffing position, and Norm is in the checking his email on the laptop position.
Well, no, but hold on. I mean, you're at my 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And Norm's at my 2 o'clock. So it's not like I have to, you know, turn around.
You're basically both
in my field of vision at once.
Yeah.
So why is that difficult?
It's, you know, not difficult. It's just different. It's strange, confusing, scary.
Sparrow's awesome.
Sparrow's rad, dude. Sparrow is really good if you use Gmail. It's no good if you use anything but Gmail, though.
Well, both our work and personal ones are Gmail.
Right.
So.
It works out well for people who use Gmail. Hey, so you were watching movies last night. You went and watched Aliens.
Yeah, I got the Alien Anthology Blu-ray box set for Christmas.
That's a good haul.
You know, like many, you know, it's in my to-do pile. You know,
does it have Alien Resurrection as
well? Yes, all four. I'm only ever going to watch the first two.
The third one is less bad than I remembered it being.
I might watch them again for historical reasons, but I don't like the second two.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got the box set, and it's a beautiful presentation, beautiful package.
It's the same editions as that Alien Quadrilogy DVD that they released like 10 years ago now, right?
I don't know but if they're better. I think they were remastered for Blu-ray.
Of course,
or whatever,
yeah.
And, you know, it's good, very
good.
Very,
that's only
very,
four movies.
Yeah. No AVP.
Oh, no.
No AVP 1 or 2.
I mean, those aren't canon as far as I know.
I think they are canon.
I think they are. Paul W. Sanderson has a lot of sway.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point being, I just had a spur of the moment urge.
Yeah.
To watch Aliens.
I don't blame you. It's a good thing to watch.
There's never a bad time for that.
I didn't realize that the extended version was James Cameron approved.
Yeah. So I didn't know. So I put the disc in, and the menu comes up and it says, "Do you want to watch the 1986 original?"
It's a crippling choice.
Or the 1990. Special edition. And these are the kind of choices that I absolutely freeze up. I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
This is a real first world problem.
So I tweeted, what should I do? And you came back and said, go with the original. And then right as you were saying that, I said, well, I'll see what special edition comes up. And when you press special edition, James Cameron says, congratulations, you have selected the correct version. This is my preferred version. This is the ride that we wanted you to take. This puts back all the
stuff. What if he does that on both versions, though?
I don't know. I guess I should. Do you think if you pick the other one, he criticizes you?
Absolutely.
You idiot. No, why would you pick this version?
No, what if he comes back and says, yeah, hey, congratulations.
Makes
this version
good
is much better paced and is more entertaining than the longer, more boring version.
Maybe so.
Because what's the big differences are,
well, there are several,
the turrets.
The turrets.
Yeah.
There are some additional scenes where it's established that Ripley had a daughter who died.
Right.
Grew old and died while she was in stasis.
Right. Who was a child.
A few other, there's the whole scene at Hadley's Hope where you see how the colonists got infected by the aliens.
Oh, the one with Newt in the car with her dad.
And the dad gets the face hugger.
Yeah, okay.
And some other scenes which are just a little added bits within the scenes. They made certain scenes longer.
Yeah.
Like when they're in the dropship, you know, the whole Hudson, when he's going, oh, we're the ultimate badasses. Like they added some extra stuff in there.
Hudson's great.
I guess what struck me the most, because I hadn't seen the film in a long time. It's one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. I mean, it came out when I was 14 years old, which is pretty much like the ultimate age to be blown away by that movie. And I owned it on VHS, I owned it on DVD. I've lost count of the number of times I've seen it, but I hadn't seen it probably in 10 years. And I booted it up and I watched it. And about halfway through the movie, it struck me. Not only is this movie, I mean, this movie is still fucking amazing. It's 25.
It holds up. It holds up unbelievably well.
It holds up like unbelievably well. It's 25 years old, that film.
Oh, yeah.
This year.
Oh, yeah.
Came out in 1986. And not only, I mean, that film was like a masterclass in like 20 different filmmaking disciplines, from writing to direction to production design to special effects, mm-hmm. everything. It's almost a perfect film.
Well, one of the things I love about that movie, even more than Alien, which is also a very good movie, Alien looks very 70s-y for whatever reason, just because the hairstyles and the mustaches and all that.
And Aliens looks very 80s.
But it's one of
Aliens, I think they did a better job of making it look more timeless. It's almost like they went back and styled the people like they were 50s people instead of 70s people.
Go and find me almost any other 1970s movie, some movie that made in the 70s that has aged as well as Alien, the original Alien. I mean, 70s movies look really 70s.
Yeah, Logan's Run and also
like Star Wars and Superman both came out in 77.
Star Wars looks real 70s-y, though.
Yeah, I mean, again, Luke's got his shaggy kind of 70s disco hair and stuff.
Right.
But anyway, the point...
He's wearing a smock.
Not only is Aliens still an amazing film, like, if they came out today, people would be blown away by it.
Yeah, the effects are phenomenal.
And from an artistry point of view, I was looking at it a number of different ways. I was like, the amazing thing about it, it's almost a perfect sequel in the sense that Cameron knew exactly what to take from the original and how to repurpose it. Like, there are right. so many great little callbacks to the original movie that worked so, so well. But what I wanted to talk about that I guess is more relevant to Tested was technically it stands up really amazingly.
Well, hold on. But before we get into that, the other thing that they did with those movies is the first movie is a haunted house story and the second movie is a war movie.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, it's different genres. The genre is science fiction, but they're different types of movies.
And it's amazing that, you know, it's a true sequel and it picks up directly after the first, picks up directly from where the first film ends.
Right. Well, the story does.
And like I said, there are so many great little moments, you know, where you've got the computer voice saying you've got to get off the ship and, you know, you think it's over, but you realize the alien is still on the ship. And so many great moments from the original Alien that he repurposed and repackaged into the new movie in a way that worked in that new context, but still felt like you were watching
and just a kind of successor.
Yeah, absolutely, in every way. But what we expect special effects and the technical side of filmmaking to get better over time. You'd think a film from today would look much better than a similar film from 1986. But I think you would have a hard time today remaking Aliens and making it look any better than the 25-year-old version.
Well, this is the thing I've been saying this for months. I can't remember what the trigger was that I saw, but. Because anything is possible with computer-generated graphics, I think it's devalued the entire thing.
Yes, I agree.
Such and effects inflation.
Yes, and mostly what it really made – watching it really made me aware of is just how much I miss the days when movies were made with real models and miniatures and practical effects.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's any – I don't think there was any CG 25 years ago.
Well, the CG in Aliens was like on the computer screen stuff. Like they did all those fake – anytime there was a fake terminal or when they showed the map
But no, there are no actual like CG creatures or CG backdrops or anything like that. I mean, and you can tell. I mean, that's clearly a model.
Yeah.
But it still looks really good and everything has like a sense of weight and realism to it that as great as CG is for many things, CG often still looks kind of fake and plasticky in a way that real practical effects don't.
Well, it's like the – you remember the first couple of Harry Potter movies and I guess the Lord of the Rings movies were at the same time. Like they used – I think they used the same animation package for Harry fighting the troll, riding the back of the troll, and Legolas riding the monster.
No way.
Well, it's all super ragdolly animation. It looks like they're limp ragdolls when they're being flung around. And it same thing when he's riding the broomstick in the Quidditch matches. It looks terrible. And it looks super, super dated by today's standards.
Yeah, it's
And stuff like that just yanks you out of the movie.
It's sad. And I don't know. Another great example is the most recent Indiana Jones movie that I try to pretend doesn't exist.
Oh, God.
Where they went very heavy with digital effects. It just, again, it doesn't have the same magic. And I don't know if it's just nostalgia or if there really is something missing from the CG approach that the practical
even when
side
the CG
really could do better.
Doesn't look like you can tell it's fake, like in The Thing. It's still like the creativity in that.
Was there CG in The Thing?
There was. I mean, not CG, the practical effects.
Practical effects. Yeah.
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 It's
well,
because there's something visceral about.
Oh, totally.
That is
when you see arms are being bitten off by stomachs.
Well, yes. the place that kills me is in car stuff. Like if you look at like what a science. Car chases and car crashes were in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And then the moment cars are easy to remember, so they've been doing car CG crashes for years now. Like, look at the end of Blues Brothers or Bullet or any number of other, like any of these practical driving movies, even like Goldeneye, that opening chase in the beginning of Goldeneye where Famke Janssen and Pierce Brosnan are coming down the hill into Monaco or someplace
in
France.
He's in a tank.
No, not that one. I'm talking the very opening when it's the Lotus versus the Aston Martin.
Oh, that's not Goldeneye. Oh, no, it might be.
Yeah, it's Goldeneye.
No, the very opening of Goldeneye is him jumping off the dam.
Right, that's the flashback. But then the second opener after the credits when they introduce Famke Janssen.
Yeah, and they're driving along that kind of
windy-ass mountain road, and it's like no guardrails. They're skidding out of power sliding around corners.
Yeah.
That shit is unbelievable, and it's all stuff that you have to do that.
Yes.
You can't just
and you can
that.
Appreciate when they put that work into it.
Or the Bullet, the race through San Francisco and Bullet is unbelievable still.
The other one that has really, really aged incredibly well. And here's the thing is that it's surprising to me to go back and look at kind of movies that from the birth of the CG age, like early 90s
movies. Twister looks like shit now.
But here's the thing. Jurassic Park
Yeah.
Still looks fantastic.
Yes.
And that's a combination of practical and CG. Often in the same shot. Like you'll actually have a physical dinosaur head up close and then it'll transform.
It doesn't look great is when the first time they see a dinosaur is when he's standing on the car and see the brontosaurus in the background.
And the lighting's
not
right on.
The only time I think it doesn't work well.
But the amazing thing is, if you remade Jurassic Park today shot for shot with all technology, it probably wouldn't look a lot better than it did.
Yeah.
And Jurassic Park's nearly 20 years old.
And it would look messy. It would just look messier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, like it'd be like King Kong.
Well, it's like when we were watching Transformers 3, and you said, "Oh wow, look at the CG effect! This fight shot happened during the day." I hadn't even realized that most of the big fight scenes from those kinds of movies are all at night or in sparse locations like Egypt or some desert someplace.
The thing that I found amazing about Jurassic Park when I first saw it is, I was already at the age where I was starting to get a little bit cynical. And trying to kind of second guess the filmmaker, and I'm saying, "Oh, this Tyrannosaurus looks pretty good. I see what they're doing here. It's all night shots. You don't really get a good look at it. Right. I see what they're doing."
And then halfway through,
Spielberg goes, "All right, here's some fucking dinosaurs in full daylight. We're not hiding anything, and it still looks amazing." You go, "Holy shit! Okay, you did it."
Well, that's the kind of stuff. The thing is, it's like anything else. The people who are good at making movies or who are good at doing this are using effects shots in a tasteful, realistic way, so it doesn't pull you out of the movie.
Yeah.
And then the people who aren't are making fucking Gone in 60 Seconds and Transformers
3. But here's what I don't get. Again, and I use the Jurassic Park as an example. I'm sure CG technology and techniques and tools have improved in all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
But I'm just looking at what my eye sees and how good it looks to me. CG doesn't look that much better today than it did 20 years ago in Jurassic Park. And I'm kind of trying to figure out whether Moore's Law with technology gets better. Like, it's more stuff. Like the iPhone 20 years ago would have seemed like a miracle.
Yeah.
Right. So absolutely. Why is it that technology and other kind of technologies have improved exponentially?
Well, they're doing different.
But we're still complaining about CG looking fake after 20 years of development.
They're doing different stuff, right? I mean, part of it now is that it's not like the dinosaurs were because we were able to suspend our disbelief, right? So you looked at that and you're like, "Wow, I actually believe dinosaurs are real."
You don't actually believe it, but you look at it and you go, "That looks real."
Yeah.
I can't tell that that's fake.
Well, it services a reaction.
There's always a part of your brain that goes,
absolutely.
Obviously it's not real, but.
Holy shit, these look real.
There's nothing about that looks fake to me. Yeah.
Right. So then what's happened is the ante has been upped so high that in order to get something that is impressive on the explosion and viscera front, they have to make something that doesn't trigger the hindbrain that says, "Wow, that could actually be real."
The stuff that I find most impressive these days is actually the CG that you don't even realize it's CG because it's something they could actually have built. Like when you see a fake creature, when you see like Oa in Green Lantern, right? Okay, that's fake. Because you know it can't be real, and also it does actually look kind of fake.
Yeah.
But you know, like special effects reels for like TV shows, like Game of Thrones, when they're saying like the mountains, like they change a lot.
The one that I found really, I mean, look at the special features on Zodiac and how they created those street scenes. There's nothing there.
I need to go watch that.
It's unbelievable.
It's great.
John Adams, you know, they create, 18th century
crowds.
Boston.
Yeah.
And I honestly assume that they had just found these kind of, these historical streets that still look much like that and filled them full of people.
No, they just.
All CG. CG, they'll build what are called CG extensions. And they did this on Watchmen and many others where they need to create these big cityscapes. They'll build the foreground block, and that's a practical set that the actors are walking around on. But everything behind them is then digitally extended to make it look like the street is actually, continuing way down. And that kind of stuff, I think, is where CG works really well.
Well, and say what you will about Zack Snyder, but I mean, Watchmen is a good example of a movie that did CG pretty well, I thought. I mean,
I think so.
It was in service of making that movie look like the comic book,
right?
Which is what I was
Dr. Manhattan. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine a better version of what he would look like on film.
Right. I mean, that movie came out looking, and 300 was the same way. 300 looked exactly like what I expected to see after reading the graphic novel.
Right.
So, I mean, there's good and there's bad. But I don't think you could make a movie like Aliens today because what would happen is the director would come in. They'd be like, "Oh, man, we got to do this all. Let's do some daylight scenes." And then no matter how good they look, they're still not going to be as scary as they are when they're coming out of the fucking walls.
Apparently the reports about the Thing prequel is supposed to be pretty good. And that's not a ton of CG.
No, I actually the guy who wrote the Thing prequel is a friend of mine. I was asking him about it recently. He was saying that it's anywhere they could, they use practical effects.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to see a return to that. I think that what's going to happen is we're going to see a whole generation of kids who grow – the kids who grew up watching Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings are going to value honesty above all else.
The problem that bugs me is now is where it goes completely the other way and they use CG where they really didn't even need to. I was watching –
because it's cheaper.
Talking about movies that you don't ever watch until they're on HBO. I watched Wolverine because it was on HBO,
The
spin-off.
Okay, X-Men Origins, whatever it was. Yeah.
And there's a scene where he's just standing in front of the mirror looking at his claws.
Terrible.
And there's CG claws and I'm like – You could just give him fake, real, actual, practical claws that would look better than the CG version.
Out of sync with his hand.
Yeah. Yes. Why? Why?
Yeah, no.
There is this love affair with CG where it's not. They're using it in places where it's not even appropriate.
That happens all the time.
Don't like it.
Oh.
Yeah. The other one that killed me was in Walking Dead. I know why they used the CG for the head for the gunshots and the headshots and stuff.
Yeah.
And the blood, because I knew they were worried about ratings coming into that and weren't sure what they could get away
with.
They
might need to remove it.
Right. So they had to put them
even
in.
Even if they were practical, you could digitally remove it later.
I think it's probably easier to digitally add them than to digitally remove them.
Yeah, maybe so.
So I'm sure they did that because of that. But that every time somebody shot a zombie in the head, you could tell, oh, fuck, that's a CG shot, and it looks terrible.
I do miss the old days of those Romero, the good old Tom Savini, like real blood splatter effects. Where they had like real squibs and stuff going off. Oh, yeah.
I think this is a – I think that honesty, truth in filmmaking. That's what I liked about that the Tarantino Grindhouse movie. The car – not all of it, but a lot of that car stuff was practical, like the actual driving. And you could tell.
I mean, going back to Aliens, you know, think about that great scene at the end where, you know, Bishop gets split in two and you see all his milky android guts.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's an old magic trick. You know, he's obviously real bodies through a hole in the floor and they've got put a fake body on the elevated set. But I was thinking, man, if they remade that today, you just know they would all be CG guts and it wouldn't look as good. It just wouldn't.
You'd know. The thing is, whether it looks as good or not doesn't matter. It's that you know that it was easy.
Yes. Yes.
And I value work.
Yes.
Yep.
So. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Wow. You know what? Update podcast so far, like 2 hours, 20 minutes. MacBook battery. It was full charge when I started. Yep. I got the 10-minute warning. I had to shut the light.
So you get just enough juice for a whole podcast.
And just – that's sad. I thought it would get at least three and a half hours.
Sad. You were using it pretty heavily though.
Just like fact-checking.
And you use it for like 10 minutes beforehand too.
Yeah, 10 minutes beforehand. So,
By the way, Will, I would not be surprised if we get a couple of comments on the podcast from disgruntled digital effects guys saying my job's actually not easy.
No, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's – the thing is it's cheaper at this point for somebody to go in and do a lot of that stuff digitally. When I say easy, I don't mean their job is easy. I apologize for that. What I mean is it's from a studio money spending perspective, it's easier for them, for the studio
It's become kind of a panacea.
Right.
I don't like
they can
that.
Fix it.
Yeah.
If Olivia Wilde's pasties showed in some sex scene in some movie that she's working on, we'll just digitally insert nipples.
Right.
That, I mean, that's the shittiest job ever in some ways. And also probably
you got that backwards. The nipples showed we will digitally insert pasties.
No, I think that
you're thinking of the fantasy version you want to see.
No, I'm pretty sure it was the digitally involved
what movie is he talking about?
I think he's talking about Cowboys and Aliens.
There was a story that came up on some blog that I read the other day. It was a Wired story, I think, about digitally inserting nipples because the pasty showed. It may not have been Olivia Wilde. I apologize if it was.
Wow.
All right.
But anyway, rather than go back and reshoot, they just put nipples in.
And there's nothing wrong with using CG to go in and fix problems, like take wires out and stuff like that. That's done routinely.
No, I got no,
but it's like using CG because CG is cool when the practical solution would actually get you a better result.
Right.
I don't like that.
I agree.
All right. That's all.
Okay. See you guys next week. Oh, at @AmazingRace_CBS.
Yes. Twitter. @AmazingRace_CBS.
And make sure you mention @WillSmith and @NChan and how awesome we would be on @AmazingRace_CBS. Thank you.